Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all not used to this voice. This is Dr. Train on the ones and twos tonight. Our normal host, Kamish T, will join us shortly. He had to teach a class tonight, I think, on how to be a good Cowboys fan. But he'll join us later on tonight. But we got an awesome show for you guys tonight. You know, so we're going to preview our Turkey Day games. You know, we're going to talk about the catastrophe that happened to the Bears last night. But, of course, I don't do this alone. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on one of your favorites, the diehard Steelers fan, the man known in the Madden arena to destroy everybody on those sticks, none other than K-Star. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
What up, bro? Happy to be here. No T right now. Makes me happy. We don't need him. It's whatever. You know, we don't care about him here. But no, I'm just kidding. T will be with us shortly. But I'm excited for a few reasons, and we'll get to that here shortly. But I'm excited. Feeling good right now. You wouldn't think I would after the Ravens game, but I think I got a little bit of hope over here.
I know, man. I thought I was going to be down, but I am still upbeat. Even after that beat down, I am still upbeat. It's one game, and we're going to just have to move past it. But with that said, let's jump into our agenda. We know we normally start off with our own segments, but tonight we're going to start off a little different and hope, and like I said, if people join us soon, again, we'll get into our segments. But our first topic of the night is we're going to take a look at the Houston game. Houston taking an OT by the Jags. And the question is, were the Houston Rockets, were the Houston Texans, were they exposed? Are they not the team that we expect them to be? Are they not the best team in the AFC because of Jazz taking them in OT? K-Star, since you know AFC is your conference and you know mostly about that, I'll let you start it off.
Man, first of all, I was disgusted by this game for just numerous reasons. But let me get to the question that you just asked me first before I go further, before my own personal story. Now, I do not believe the Texans were at all exposed. I don't look much into this game, rather than this game just being a wild, wild, weird game. This is the kind of game where you looked at before the season or before this week had officially begun that you just kind of laughed at. You know, if you were eliminated pool, that was the team, the Texans over the Jaguars as your number one pick, as your confidence pick. Like that was it. And going into the game, you know, the Texans, they went up first. They went up 7-0. Andre Johnson got the ball downfield. They were moving the ball, and everything was okay. You know, Blaine Gabbert was getting sacked around, then he fumbled, and Texans had the ball. But an interesting thing happened. Chad Haney came into the game. I don't know if you guys remember him, but he was a quarterback for Miami for a couple of seasons out of Michigan. He's decent, not anything special. Now, we all saw what happened. You know, the Texans, they couldn't stop him at all. It's ridiculous. It was like Justin Blackman and Cecil Short were playing bumper cars out there. They would catch the ball between two people and they would just bounce off everyone and score. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was nuts. I couldn't believe what I was saying. Like, what is going on? So I just think it was a bad game by Houston against a divisional rival in which they prepare for Blaine Gabbert and they knock the quarterback out. And honestly, the better player came in, Chad Haney, and he was just extremely quick and decisive with the throws, and I don't think Houston expected it. And again, they prepared for Gabbert, so. But the good news for Houston is they won. And despite the Goff will play their defense, it's been strong all season. I can confidently say after watching this game, it was a fluke. It was terrible. But then, no, they weren't exposed. That's just one of those games where you're just lucky. You feel as a Texas fan lucky just to get out of the game with a win. So no, it wasn't. It was just a fluke kind of game. They're fine.
And I would have to agree to you. I wouldn't say necessarily exposed. Here's the things I look at. I didn't get a chance to see the whole game. I was kind of flipping back and forth, man. That's what Sunday Ticket does to you when your team is not playing. Man, you try to watch.
Oh, NFL Red Zone. It was insane. If you watched it on NFL Red Zone, it was insane.
Wow. But here's the things that I point out in the game. One, it is a division game. Let's not discount that. And we all know, regardless of how sorriest team is your division, how good the best team is in your division, when they meet, it's a brawl. For whatever reason, it's a brawl. There's familiarity there. They know each other. I mean, it's a brawl all the time. Secondly, if you look at that game, you talk about Cecil Shorts and Justin Blackman and bumper cars. Well, that was due to bad, very, very bad tackling.
Oh, it was horrible tackling.
They had chunks. I mean, we're talking about taking slants and hitches and taking them for 50 and 60 yards. That's bad.
It was disgusting. It was disgusting. They were quick throws. Yeah.
Exactly. If Houston tackles, it's a different game. If Houston just tackles, right? I'm not saying, you know, Chad Haney came and he did a great job, but if Houston tackles, it's a different game. They missed a ton of tackles, and these receivers
missed. They look like they're playing. Look, I'll break it down for all the mad people out there. It looked like the Jacksonville Jaguars offense, as soon as Chad Haney came into the game, like someone paused the game or something in the Houston area and put it on rookie. They put the game over to rookie because it was ridiculous. That's the only thing you would see him mad at. It was Tech Bowl on steroids. It was on HGH Sunday. It was crazy. And I just got to complain about this real quick. Now, in my all-important fantasy football league with all my friends and everything, you know, I have a great team. I'm first in scoring, right? So going into this game against my friend who's in the same division, he's 6-3-1, and I was 7-3 or 7-4, and now he has Brady, Peyton, whatever. I did Texans defense. We talked about it earlier in the week. That was a defense in which, if you started them, you started with confidence. You knew the Texas defense was going to kill the Jaguars. No. What do you think about my Sunday afternoon? It was horrible. You know how many points they got me? Guess how many points they got me?
Wow, negative what?
They got me negative. Yes, exactly. They got me negative one.
I had to be negative.
I had a headache. It was ridiculous. I can only imagine what a Houston, Texas fan was feeling. Actually, I had a couple of friends on my Facebook status that they would come up putting the bullets. It was bad. You know, talking about offing himself. But, yeah, that was sloppy tackling. I mean, I think part of that, though, was a lack.
I was going to say, my very last point before I bring tea on is Chad Haney. Chad Haney was, you know, that wasn't the quarterback they prepared for. And I understand you're a good defense, so you would be prepared for any quarterback. But Chad Haney came in, and he did it. Now, true enough, they had bad tackling, but still, he made all the throws that needed to be made.
He was quick. He killed those blitzes. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. Now, TMB fans, without further ado, you know, let's bring on the man that created the EAFL online Madden Football League. He started the Madden voice. I mean, he's our favorite guy when it comes to the Cowboys. So, without further ado, let's bring on our very own. Welcome to the Madden Boy.
Wow, thanks for the invite, man. It's a little different being in the passenger seat. You know, I gotta admit, I actually enjoyed listening to you guys for a few minutes. That's why I didn't even hit
I didn't even hit one. I figured you saw me anyway, but I actually enjoyed listening to you guys. It's actually, it's very different listening and not being the host. So that was fun. I enjoyed that. And just real quick on topic, I don't disagree with what I heard, but I will say this. We're talking about the Houston Texans defense supposed to be one of the best defenses in the NFL, and we're talking about Chad Henne. And Chad Henne made them look like amateurish. So I don't think they were exposed, but I think they need to be worried. This wasn't, Chad Henne has no pedigree in the NFL. Chad Henne has accomplished nothing in the NFL, and he looks phenomenal. He looks phenomenal. And if I'm Wade Phillips, you've gotten my attention. I'm not saying they were exposed. I'm not saying they're panicked. They won the game. They're 9-1. I can't say a team that's 9-1 was exposed. But I could say I'd be worried just a little bit that this guy came in off the bench cold and lit you up. Now 1-9, 1-8 at the time. Now 1-19 with a backup quarterback that did nothing in Miami. Came in and lit y'all up. K-Star hit it right on the head. He was quick. The throw he was making. He looked good. I'm like, what are you doing?
I was losing my mind on Twitter. If anyone follows me, I'll be quick during this game because, again, I had the Texas defense. I just could not believe what was going on.
Oh,
there's a 3rd and 20. There's a 3rd and 20 that they even converted for a touchdown. It was crazy. It was madness.
And I have to say this, and then we can go to the next topic. But I watched a lot of the coverages. I'm sure you guys do. And I don't think Chad Henne got enough credit. I mean, they lost a division game. You know, it happens in division games. They took them lightly. All of that, you know, but I don't think he got enough credit for how well he actually played. You know, and I'm not saying anoint him or anything. I'm not saying you have a quarterback controversy, but, well, maybe you do. I mean, maybe you do. Excuse me. But anyway, go ahead, Trent.
Well, just quickly, the one main important thing is that Houston won the game. Because had they lost the game. Had they lost the game.
You're killing them right now.
Then you might have a little bit of exposure. But they won the game, and that's a big thing. It shows perseverance. So they got it. Now I guess it's time for us to roll into our segments. And, of course, yours truly, always leading the pack, Dr. Train's philosophy. And tonight, you know, I just want to answer the question. Kind of took me a minute to find this topic, but were the Bears overhyped? Put upon a pedestal more than what they should have been? The simple answer to this question from my point of view is no. You play who's on your schedule. And who was on their schedule? They played them. They beat them. And they won more than half of those games very decisively. Others they had to fight in. I mean, they looked horrible against Green Bay. They lost a tough one against Houston. Jay Cutler out for a half. And then you go into San Francisco and wow. Almost it's like a deer in headlights watching that game as a Bears fan. But were they overhyped? No, I don't think so. But I will say that they definitely need Cutler. Jason Campbell is no substitute for Cutler, not even a little bit. Secondly, the offense is going to be limited moving forward, even when we get to the playoffs. I still think the Bears will make the playoffs, even if they get to the playoffs. With the way the offensive line plays, Mike Tyson's going to have to come up with some schemes just to keep Cutler upright. He's going to have to find a way to keep Cutler upright. I mean, he's definitely quicker than Jason Campbell when it comes to getting rid of the ball. He makes plays with his feet, but still, with the way that offensive line played last night, man, I think even Cutler definitely would have had a long day. And lastly, I feel like the defensive performance that was just, I'm just going to call it an anomaly. I've never seen our defense get destroyed like that, so I'm just going to call it a rare occasion, and I expect them to be back on track. K-Star, South.
All right, so I got a question. I have a question, and I said I wasn't going to do this on Tuesday. I said on Friday I wasn't going to do this. I lied. I'm doing it. We had a long talk about Jason Campbell, bro. We had a long talk about Jason Campbell. Okay? And you know, 4 offensive coordinators and this, that, and the other. And, you know, and I said, he's not the one. He's not, no. He's not very good. He's no. And you said, well, you know, you act like he's terrible. I said, well, I didn't quite say terrible, but maybe I should have. All right? What's your thoughts on Jason Campbell now? You've seen him for a game and a half. What are your thoughts on Jason Campbell now?
I hope Cutler never gets hurt ever again. Would I be wrong in saying that I almost wanted to see Josh McCown?
No, you're not wrong. This is what I'm trying
and to simply because when I saw Josh McCown last season run Mike Marsh offense behind literally darn near the same offensive line, the dude got rid of the ball. And I know the line caved in on Jason Campbell. Like, I think after I can't remember exactly how many sacks they got. Because I know we're segueing to the game, so we might as well put it all in. But anyway, the very first sack, I look at Jason Campbell like, you just hit your back foot. You just dropped back. You see 3 to 5 steps. You just hit your back foot. The ball needs to come out. He held it. Took a sack. You got 2 big receivers out there. You better throw it up to somebody or move. Every sack after that, pretty much the line caving in. But he had no instinct on how to move within the pocket to avoid any of the sacks. Because there were a couple of them where, I mean, it would have took some, it takes instinct, but if Peter just moved quicker, with his legs just got out of there, he'd have avoided a sack and at least got, you know, a few yards or been able to throw the ball away. The dude plays, I said this, but I didn't say it Friday. He plays not to make mistakes, and that's not good enough. That's not gonna do it for us to go anywhere deep into the playoffs at all. So yeah, I don't want to see him again at quarterback. I pray that Jay Cutler is back next week. I think he will be, but I think I will.
Let me touch on this real quick. Now, when I was watching this game, and don't get me wrong, Campbell was bad, but that offensive line was embarrassing. They look at Pop Warner offensive line trying to block angry, angry, humongous men. It was an embarrassment. You know, Jason Campbell, again, he had a pretty bad game, but honestly, if we were talking about anyone, put any blame, that offensive line was putrid. That's the worst performance I think I have ever seen from offensive line. Every pass, that pocket collapsed around him. Now, I'm not a Jason Campbell fan. Don't get me wrong. He played bad in parts especially, but they didn't have a prayer. If Jay Clark played in that game, they didn't have a prayer. I don't care who was that quarterback. You know, because if Jay Cutler was in the game, you know what? That was the kind of game, we can't prove this, but that's the kind of game where I believe if Cutler played, you know, he either would have gotten hurt because, you know, of his past injuries lately, or he would have just thrown a bunch of interceptions because he would have had to throw the ball so quickly because there was no time to throw the ball. The 49ers defense, Aldon Smith, my God, 5 sacks. What does that tell you? You know, they were just killing. It was just bad. It looked like there was a whole different team out there or different leagues between these two teams last night. Now, to the initial question, were the Bears overhyped? Maybe a little. And I say that because that defense couldn't get a stop either. You know, the Niners spread them out, and they just dissected them with Colin Kaepernick, also a backup quarterback. Let's not forget they had one as well. But the Bears, I think, will still make the playoffs. They'll still have a very good defense. I just think that was a bad place at a bad time for them. So they'll be okay. But that offensive line, though, is putrid. It's just bad. They got to do something. Jay Cutler.
You know, your Bears, man, I'm worried a little bit, man, because, you know, you can say that the defensive performance was an anomaly. Okay, I'll give you that, but it was horrible. I mean, it was bad. And for a team that prides itself on playing such stout defense, you know, let's hope you're right. Let's just hope you're right. I'm not gonna disrespect your team because your team has played well throughout the year, and particularly against my team. But let's hope that that's true. But I'm gonna say, yeah, the offensive line played very poorly, but Jason Campbell didn't help it out at all. He had
not at all.
In the pocket, no agility, no awareness. You know, I mean, and we're going to talk about the Cowboys, but Tony Romo was sacked 7 times against the Browns. But you watched that game, and you just had a sense that Tony Romo, he had a sense of trying to get out of trouble, okay? And our offensive line played as badly as the Bears did, but it was a different type of a game because of the quarterback. And I think Jay Cutler would have had more of a tone. Tony Romo-like game of just knowing the pressure, where it's coming, and having better instincts on where to get rid of the ball, and I think it still would have been a more competitive game where Jason Campbell just didn't bring any of that to the table. And at some point, you know what Cutler's going to do, okay? You got Campbell back having problems blocking. They got no idea what he's going to do. He stood back there on at least three of the sacks that I saw. I thought I was watching Drew Bledsoe. I was mobile. I thought he was a mobile quarterback. He's not even moving. He's not even making an effort to get out of the pocket. I mean, I'm hard on him because he was pretty good at Auburn back in his day. I'm hard on him because he should have turned into a better quarterback. I don't know why, but he's just not very good. 31-39. Now he's 31-40 as a starter, and he had a 1-year contract. This was his dress rehearsal to try to get a job somewhere. And I can rest assure you, next year he'll be unemployed. He's all done. He'll be unemployed next year. Him and Vince Young can go play golf together.
Now, on the flip side, without taking any credit away from a man, San Francisco played a hell of a game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, seriously. Oh. I mean, we look bad, but we look bad because they look very, very good. Harbaugh, I mean, we were outcoached and outplayed. Because when you look at what Harbaugh had for the defense, now, mind you, I didn't even get mad watching this game. I actually sat there and just wanted to understand what in the hell was San Francisco doing to us in order for them to start to run the ball. Because at first, we had the run sewed up. But then they passed the ball well. And then there was no pass rush. All of a sudden, Kaepernick looks like Joe Montana back there. At least that's what my friend was saying. We called him the Diet Coke.
Right.
Joe Montana. But he looked superb back there. I mean,
he
every
did.
Pass he was going on point, over defenders' heads, landed in the bread basket.
You know what a lot of it did, and this might be something that some other teams take into account when playing Chicago, is they spread them out. They went five wide, calling Kaepernick. It sounds funny to say that.
Well, they
but they made, they made brace covers. They made them play man-to-man. They couldn't cover Vernon Davis. They couldn't play man-to-man across the board, and I think that's what helped the rush attack later because they were so winded from it. I don't know, but that's something to look for possibly from other teams, maybe trying game plan against the Bears by spreading them out.
Other teams have spread Chicago out, and they haven't even been that successful. I think when you look at that game, there's no pass rush from Chicago, mainly because they're worried about Kaepernick getting outside of the pocket. They've seen what he can do with his legs.
He's a threat.
Yeah. Secondly, when they actually start to run the ball well, if you pay attention to the way they ran their run plays, I mean, they got jumbo packages. Secondly, when they do their counters and their traps, they have two people going through the hole even before the running back gets to the hole. And mind you, their offensive line destroyed our defensive line. Let me put that there first. Their offensive line did a great job. And then running their counters, running their traps, running their run plays up the middle, they had two men go through the hole before.
Absolutely,
the
they're running, and they were just running so many different formations. It was really impressive to watch.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
But let's just say this. It all started with – everything you guys are saying is absolutely on point, but it all started with the quarterback. This guy showed a poise and a control of a veteran. And anyone who thinks there's no quarterback controversy in San Francisco is smoking something. This guy looked like
there has to be.
In control of that game from start to finish. I was stunned. I knew he had some skills from the times that they had inserted him in the game. And I knew he was going to be better than Jason Campbell because I didn't think it would take much to be better than Jason Campbell. I had no idea that this guy, I mean, he played, we give RG3 a lot of credit, and this guy played on that level of just he looked really, really good. And let's remember this. The 49ers brought Peyton Manning in the offseason after going to the conference championship game with Alex Smith. They brought Peyton Manning in for a workout in the offseason or invited him. I don't know if he went or didn't go, but they tried to get him in or maybe he went. I don't remember how that played out, which means they were looking for someone other than Alex Smith. And I'm going to tell you guys something. They may have found him last night.
Yeah. Now, mind you, that was Harbaugh's draft pick. Kaepernick was Harbaugh's draft pick when Harbaugh came.
Go ahead, Trent, my bad.
No, I was just saying they moved up. They moved up in the draft to get him. So it was his pick.
And you know, Harbaugh really didn't handle that press conference well when asked the question. You don't ever answer it that way. Someone needs to help him. You don't say,
"Oh yeah,
well, you
know, I'll play the hot hand."
No, you say,
"Yeah."
That's what you say. Even if you change your mind later, that's the he messed that up. Now.
He said, "Go with the hot hand." I was like, "Well, in that case, Kaepernick is the hot hand." But
you know what he did mess up? You know what he did mess up real quick? Because we haven't touched on this yet. I think all week he knew Kaepernick was going to start. They clearly game planned around him and put in a nice scheme and script for him. You know, Alex Smith, there was a lot of talks that he was going to play. I think they knew all along that Kaepernick was the guy and probably had practiced with him all week and had an offense installed. So a lot of games and shit there by Harbaugh there, and it panned out for him. But Kaepernick, again, looked really impressive. Harbaugh, again, alluded to sometimes he plays with a hot hand. He's been known to, I believe, is what he said. Well, they're going to New Orleans next Sunday, so he needs to come up with a decision soon.
So who do you think they play going forward, or who do you think they should play going forward? Should they go with Smith, or should they go with Kaepernick?
I go Kaepernick. Kaepernick beat one of the best defenses in the league. Alex Smith has been playing better, but this guy, what you saw out of him was a command that I've not seen from Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Kaepernick at this
even
point.
The body language. Body language of the teammates. And also, Vernon Davis was finally involved this season. He has been limited without Smith as his starter through recent weeks. I know especially fantasy owners can groan and relate to that. When Colin Kaepernick came in, they exploited that matchup. They have a huge matchup every week with Vernon Davis. And Alex Smith can't get him the ball consistently. They have to put Kaepernick in because that offense just flowed.
Now,
I think they should play Kaepernick. I think they should play him because he just.
I don't necessarily think that Vernon Davis disappearing the offense was due to necessarily to Alex Smith. I just think it was teams catching on to who's considered the best pass catcher for San Francisco. And Vernon Davis is the best pass catcher for San Francisco, so you double him like you would double Brandon Marshall or Dez Bryant.
But Kaepernick found a way to get him the rock, man. That's all I'm saying. It was a big deal. Like, it just hasn't happened at all, and Kaepernick was moving it down the field with ease. I watched this game with my best friend, a huge Niners fan, and I was asking, like, dude, are they going to start Kaepernick? And his thought process was, no, they can't do that because the way the season's going, you might as well just ride with Alex Smith, revisit that in the offseason because you don't want to mess with team chemistry. But, again, we saw the body language of the teammates. They seem pretty enthused, so this is a legitimate question.
I say ride with Smith. I say continue to play teams as you've been playing. Kaepernick does get play time. And now teams actually know that this guy can throw the ball. So you can't come in and just expect what they call the Wildcat. They call it the Wildcat because of his name. But you can't come in and just expect the Wildcat anymore. He's not just going to line up behind center and just run the ball. He can actually pass the ball. So now you kind of hesitant when Harbaugh do work him in the game plan and brings him in the game. I think you still move forward with Smith. Next year you definitely have a quarterback battle, which probably Kaepernick will win out. But I think you still move forward with Smith because it's not necessarily broken. Smith hasn't done anything to lose the job. That's my opinion.
Tough.
Next topic, K-Star sound off. Peyton Manning over Brady as consensus MVP, but why? K-Star.
You know, this past Sunday, Matt Ryan threw 5 interceptions, and this MVP race pretty much centered around him and Peyton Manning. And, you know, Sunday, again, the 5 interception game, and we saw what Peyton did to San Diego, another great performance by him. But, you know, it surprised me a little because I didn't hear people really clamor for Tom Brady or even Aaron Rodgers. And I asked myself, why? Why is Peyton just consensus MVP? It doesn't make any sense to me. You know, he's He's been terrific this season. Don't get me wrong. I would never argue against Peyton Manning. I love the guy. Having to keep the league, he's great. But when you look at him and Brady this season, you know, the Patriots had the highest ranked offense in the league. They had the most points scored, averaging 35 points a game in the NFL. You know, Denver is second with 30 points per game. They're no slouches. They've been doing an amazing job. But I just don't understand for the life of me why people are just automatically shooting in Peyton Manning for his fourth MVP. Or, I'm sorry, his fifth MVP, I think it would be. Denver has a very good defense. I would think it's safe to say they have a better defense than what New England has. And what Tom Brady just did, dropping 59 on the Colts defense, which isn't a very impressive defense, but it was a very big game in the AFC. To me, it put Tom Brady right there with Peyton Manning. I don't think it's been decided at all, and I just can't fathom why people are just automatically shooting in Peyton Manning. Is it the commercials? Is it because we missed him? I don't get it. Tom Brady has one more pass there, 2,976 yards to Peyton's 2,975. Peyton has the better rating. You know, Brady, a couple less touchdowns but four less picks. Their numbers are almost identical. You know, and again, the Tom Brady and the Patriots are the best offense in the league, so I just don't understand why people are shooing in Peyton Manning. I wouldn't necessarily disagree with it, but why is Tom Brady being forgotten? I don't get it. Can someone please, please, for the life of me, explain to me why Tom Brady isn't being included in any of this?
This is where, you know, I have to ask myself if K-Star actually watches football, because the biggest thing that you're omitting in your analysis is that Peyton Manning is with the Denver Broncos now. You just assume that guys can just pack up and go to a new team and just do what they've always done. Like, it's just a fait accompli. It doesn't work that way. This guy is doing as good as he's ever done statistically with the Broncos in his first year as he's done with the Colts, with a brand new team. Yes, he brought his system in, but how many years was he a Colts quarterback? 9, 10 years? Okay, how many years has Brady been the Patriots quarterback? 8, 9 years? So I think we get used to seeing Brady do it, and I will agree that you can't overlook Brady, but yeah, it's more impressive because this guy has a new home. Not only did he miss a year, but he missed a year, and he's not coming back to Reggie Wayne and, you know, the people that he knew in Indianapolis. He's done went to a brand new team, taught them his scheme on how it gets done, and he's getting it done like the old Peyton. Yeah, that's heck of impressive. So I can understand why people are saying, Brady, same old song. Of course, he's got Welker, Gronkowski, Hernandez, blah, blah, blah. We know. Yep. You know, throw for 40 touchdowns, and, you know, you're going to go 12-4. Yep. We know. And does it diminish what Brady has done? Well, maybe a little. Should it? Maybe not. But you can't overlook what Peyton is doing with a brand new team. That's just incredible. I'm sorry. Train, do you see it differently?
I have to agree with you, and I'll just keep my comments short on this. And I mean, pretty much everything that you said, T, I mean, it is Peyton with a new team. It's not Peyton. If it was Peyton coming back to the Colts, then you would almost have a very close argument, but he'd still be coming back after not playing a year of football. But he's coming back after not playing a year of football and having a whole new wide receiver core. With the exception of the tight end, Jacob Tammy, which is the only player that's familiar with how Peyton Manning does. Everyone else, offensive line, Stokely, but he wasn't with Indianapolis Colts the last time he played with him, were they?
No, he played them for a few seasons.
Yeah. So even still, that's a gap. Jacob Tammy was the only player that came there who had last played with him in Indianapolis. You know, Stokely, he's been around a bit. But, yeah, he has some familiarity with him. But even still, off the new offensive line, I don't know if it's the exact same offense. It almost looked like the same offense, but he looks impressive, man. And, you know, Tom Brady is doing what we expect of Tom Brady, but for this dude to come back off the neck surgery and still play at the same level he did when he left, I mean, that's pretty big. I still like Matt Ryan as MVP, though. I've seen Peyton Manning as, comeback player of the year, but
Yeah, that's what I actually wanted to say was, you know, all this list sounds to me like it's more of a comeback player of the year. But don't give me – I don't want my words to be misconstrued, okay? If you were to ask me, if I were to vote right now, I would say Peyton Manning. My problem with it, however, is the fact that because Tom Brady always does this, it seems like it's just being cast aside. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's legitimate. I mean, these are both 7-3 football clubs. These are both the playoff teams last year. I mean, it's not like Peyton Manning came around with no talent on him. He's the Marius Thomas, Eric Decker. These are pretty good players. I'm not the Michigan Payton's doing. I'm not. Again, I would vote for MVP. My whole only issue with it is just pretty much ignoring Brady. You know, Peyton would definitely win comeback player of the year because that's what I'm hearing, that, you know, it's because he's come back to a different team or, new, you know, been out for a year. I understand that. I just think it's a little disrespectful with Tom Brady just because he's so good that now we kind of take it for granted. We shouldn't do that either. We should both. You know, we should wait for a season play out a little longer, see who comes out the number one seed. I'm just simply saying the Patriots are the better offense, putting more points on the board. Denver has the better defense. Peyton is great and should win MVP, but it's close. I just don't think it's as far as special people will make it. I just don't understand the consensus immediately.
Just remember that the Patriots started out 3-3. And they started out 3-3. And for a Tom Brady, Bill Belichick-led Patriot team, that's unusual. And at that time, all four AFC East teams were 3-3. So, I mean, there's a little bit of taint to how he got started. Now, he picked it up, but he did start off slow, where I came on the Madden Voice and said, we might be seeing a little bit of decline in Tom Brady. Look at what's going on out there in New England. Not the same Brady. Now, he proved me wrong, and I'll give you that, but when were we ever able to talk about even the possibility of a decline in Tom Brady in the past? So that's the reality of what we saw versus a guy who missed a year, four neck surgeries, and it is a brand-new team. He's got talent. So what? These aren't guys he's used to playing with. This isn't his team. He's got to teach them his system and hope that it clicks. Talent gets you so far. There's got to be chemistry. There's got to be execution. Trust me, I'm a Cowboys fan. I know talent doesn't do it all.
I'm not surprised that Peyton's play, I guess, because I know he's with a new team. But Peyton's, like, again, and I said before, like, one of the top five in my estimation players just in NFL history. So I'm not taking it for granted either. But what I'm saying is let's make sure we don't also take what Brady's doing for granted, because they're both just, again, it's Peyton or Brady. We're back there. We're back 5 and 6 years ago again. Here we are.
Hey, guys, we have a caller that wants to chime in on this topic. Area code 615, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Man, thank you, somebody, for letting me in finally on the show. And I want to say this. I've been agreeing with K-Star for the last 5-6 weeks. I try to chime in, and y'all won't punch me through because y'all know K-Star right. I'm trying to agree with you, man.
Yeah.
Y'all won't even let me in. Listen, I see exactly what K-Star saying. This is the thing. With Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, even before he left, people was crowning Peyton Manning over Tom Brady. And he had he'd only been to what? Lost one Super Bowl, lost one. He never could make it to the big dance. They've always crowned him over Peyton Manning. And for what? Peyton Manning had he was having better numbers. And sometimes he wasn't. Now, let's just be honest. Sometimes Peyton Manning would be phenomenal through the regular season. But he had the championships, he had the chip.
MVP
and even now, you're doing it.
MVP is for 16 games. Remember that. Doesn't take into consideration playoffs.
But you know as well as I know, unless you had – listen, to me, Tony Romo is a heck of a regular season player. But unless you get the chip or unless at least you're doing something in the playoffs, man, that don't matter.
Yeah, but that's
and
not –
And people have always threw – And even I did. To be honest, I didn't really even like Tom Brady. And matter of fact, even now, to be honest, if whenever I see the Patriots play, I'll really root against them. But you got to tip your hat. You got to give credit where credit's due. The dude gets it done every single season. He's been doing it for the last, 10 years. And we still trying to put Peyton Manning ahead of him. It's something that people just like better.
Peyton Manning is a better regular season quarterback than Tom Brady, period.
Oh,
and
my God. Can we prove that with numbers? What are you basing that on?
Yes, you can. Absolutely. You can back that.
What
I can
are you
back
basing that on? Let
absolutely
me see the numbers on that.
I can back that up with statistics. and I can back that up with team regular season records. What you're talking about is not considered an MVP race. You're talking about postseason, Super Bowl appearance, playoffs.
Do you remember when when Tom Brady won 18 games straight?
Yeah.
18 games. If people want to throw that back like that wasn't, I don't think we'll ever see that again. I know they lost the Super Bowl, but I don't think we'll ever see that again.
I don't think we will ever see that in this day. You need to understand, and until you understand it, we can't have the conversation. What you just stated is not relevant for MVP voting. 18-0, 18-1.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You are so wrong.
Absolutely not.
You are so the most valuable player in the NFL. You have to have a winning team for that to be even in contention.
What he's saying is the playoffs. The playoffs is not considered an MVP vote at
all.
No, he won every single regular season game.
He was still 16-0 that year, though.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying I stopped being guilty of it, but for some reason we look at Tom Brady and he doesn't get the credit where credit's due, man. The guy is phenomenal.
I think Brady is always talked about as one of the best quarterbacks. I think, to be honest, I don't even get the topic because Brady is to me. He has had he's always talked about as the top quarterback or one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL.
Should be. I think he should be the best quarter every year. He's done it longer than all of them right down the league. Breeze is looking phenomenal.
Not longer than Peyton.
Longer than who? He's been more consistent than Peyton Manning.
He came to the minute and got more wins than Peyton Manning.
I don't want to tear down either guy, though. Like, that's the whole point of this. Like, they're both so close. My only issue was the Peyton being consensus. It's like it's a foregone conclusion. I'm just not really sure why, because it happened for a long time. Peyton's tremendous. Peyton's amazing. I love Peyton Manning. Watching him play football is like watching art. It's amazing to watch him play. But it is a Tom Brady. I don't want to knock either player because, again, Brady has better win percentages in his career. They both had comparable regular season numbers. Peyton at first was killing him, but then Brady picked it up. It's apples or oranges. They're both phenomenal, 1A, 1B, whatever. I just think that we shouldn't lose sight of that either, that Peyton.
But that's fair for a man to win as many championships as Tom Brady? He's won, how many has he won, 3 or 4? He's been to 5,
three.
Won 3.
Yeah.
And Peyton Manning's been to 2 and 1-1. And we're still kind of comparing them as apples and oranges. I mean, we're kind of saying it's 1A and 1B. Is that really fair?
I think Brady's the better overall quarterback as far as career goes because of that. But I'm talking about regular seasons right now. I'm talking about regular season football right now.
But I'm saying we would have to say, as far as their career is concerned, and I haven't crunched the numbers, but even if we check out the numbers of this season, who is better? We sleep on Tom Brady.
I have no idea why anyone can say with a straight face that Tom Brady doesn't get enough credit. I don't see that at all. Tom Brady is – in Connecticut, that's all I hear. Okay, that's New England. That's all I hear is Tom Brady. Tom Brady, that's all I hear. And maybe because
Let me ask you your personal opinion. Could you say, if both careers ended right now, could you say Tom Brady is a better quarterback over Peyton Manning?
I don't agree with that. I think Tom Brady. I think Tom Brady had a better career simply because he's been 5 Super Bowls and won 3. But if I was going to choose between the two of them, I would take Peyton Manning as my quarterback. I just have always thought that Peyton Manning, to me, now, you have to understand something. For me, the best quarterback I've ever watched play, all-around quarterback, was Joe Montana.
Hands down.
He was the best, period. Okay, and there's no, to me, there's no comparison. Brady's good. Manning's good. Bradshaw won four. I was lucky enough to watch him. My man Troy Aikman won three. Okay, there's a lot of good quarterbacks. But you talk about killer instinct and just mobile, great arm, accurate, leader. It was Joe Montana. Okay, period. So to me, he's number one. Now, who would I go with number two? I have to go with Peyton Manning. Even though he's only I just think Peyton Manning is a better quarterback to me. Even though Brady's had a better career, I think Peyton Manning's a better quarterback. And I think K-Star is right. Both of these guys are, when you're talking greatest of all time, they're both in the conversation. So what are we really saying here?
Yeah.
And like I said,
yeah,
Brady gets plenty of credit up here, trust me. I get sick of talking about Tom Brady up here.
Yeah, but I believe a lot of people who's not a Tom Brady fan, and most of the time when you're not a Tom Brady fan, you kind of hate him. It's kind of like Michael Jordan. I did the same thing with him. I just didn't like Michael Jordan because I wasn't a fan, and so I made excuses about his game. But anyway, I think that for some reason, because I don't think it's fair if you just look at, especially the chip, man, he done been to the dance. And then if you remember Peyton Manning, he would just not get it done in the playoffs. Matter of fact, the year they won the Super Bowl, he didn't really look that good in the playoffs then. Their defense stepped up.
Yeah.
He didn't really look that good in the Super Bowl. Yeah, he picked Chicago apart a little bit, but throwing underneath passes, he didn't really step up in the playoffs that much to me. He always, as a matter of fact, the majority of the time I saw him choke.
He did choke a lot. I'm not going to lie, because I actually used to be pretty vocal about that. But I will say this, if Peyton Manning gets it done this year in Denver, you know, it's...
That would speak volumes.
This is an argument that will never, ever be won. I'll tell you that, because it's you can really make a case for either one. But Peyton does it in Denver. He's a very compelling case. Very. Because,
absolutely. You got to tip your head.
A whole new team, whole new system, just... Plug Peyton in, and this is what happens. It's ridiculous. He's been amazing. So I don't want to discredit either or. I just wanted, again, to ask out loud, why is it just a foregone conclusion that he's MVP?
I've been enjoying the show, man. Y'all move forward, man, but I appreciate y'all letting me in.
No problem, man. We appreciate you. Appreciate you listening in. Any comments? All
right, but...
All right, we just lost T right before T-Bunnix. That's just not right.
We lost T?
Yeah. Oh, there he is. I was like, wow. Oh, right when it's time for T-Bunnix. He just, like, well, many we thought you didn't want to do your segment, brother.
I hit the button accidentally. Am I up? Is it my segment?
All right. Well, the next is T-Bunny. So, hey, Commish, let's have it.
Okay. We're going to talk about the Cowboys, but I don't want to talk about the Cowboys for my segment. I want to talk about Cowboy fans, okay? Part of the purpose of the Madden Voice is we are fans talking about football from a fan's point of view. We're loyal fans. We're dedicated fans. We're committed fans, okay? You will not find three more loyal fans to their teams than Dr. Train, K-Star, and Commissioner T. We agree, we disagree, but the one thing we all do is respect each other because we come from the same club. We live and die with our teams. That said, I got a problem. I got a problem when I sit in the bar watching the Cowboy games, and a guy's sitting in my section, and I'm sitting there with a bunch of Cowboy fans, and a guy comes over, and he's a Patriots fan, and he's sitting there, and he's waiting patiently for his game, which is coming on at 4 o'clock, and he's waiting for his game to come on, and he's sitting patiently, and he's minding his business watching our game. And, of course, we know that the Cowboys and Browns went to overtime. And, unfortunately, that means locally, because we're in Connecticut, the Patriots game was blacked out, so they couldn't play it until the Cowboys game ended. So if you were in Connecticut, you didn't get the Patriots game until the Cowboys game went off the air. So he waited patiently. And what did Cowboy fans start doing? They start razzing the Patriots guy. Now, I happen to know the guy. I don't know him personally. I know him because we go to the same bar, and we have good fun because he's a good fan, and I'm a good fan. I don't understand. Now I have to speak negatively about my Cowboys, so please forgive me, but I'm really, really irritated. Cowboy Nation, if you're listening to me, We need to shut our mouths. We need to be quiet. You can't talk to the Patriots fans as if we've done something and we deserve to be on that level. We just talked about Tom Brady. We just talked about five Super Bowls. Do you not know that Tom Brady has been to five Super Bowls since the Cowboys have been to a Super Bowl? Do you not know that he's won three since we've been to one? Do you not know that this team in 15 years has only won one playoff game? How can you sit there as a fan and talk crap to a Patriots fan when they are in the playoffs every year? They are Super Bowl contenders every year. And the one year they didn't get in, I think they were 11-5. It is blasphemous to sit there and be respectful of your team and to disrespect the team that has spanked your butt regularly. I know last year's game hurt. We lost. It was 20-16. Tom Brady came down and beat us. But they won! Cowboy Nation, listen carefully to me. I don't have a problem with you supporting the Cowboys. I don't have a problem with you being a diehard bleed blue and silver just like me. But when you start to act stupid, I've got a problem. We are who we are. This team is 5-5. Are we optimistic? Absolutely. Do we hope for the best? Absolutely. But at some point, you can't live in the past when you're living in the present. 8 Super Bowl appearances is lovely, but we haven't been to a Super Bowl since 1995. We don't even have a winning record in our own stadium. Shut your mouth. You don't have anything to brag about. Your team struggled against the Browns. Now, we're going to talk about that. They're the Cleveland Browns. I don't want to see this anymore. I don't want to hear about this anymore. I don't want to hear what this guy said to me, which hurt. He goes, "This is why I hate Cowboy fans." And he looked at me. He said, "Except you." Well, you know what? I want it to be the other way around. I want us to set a standard of being, you know, we can agree and disagree, but let's respect teams that are doing what they do. The Bears whooped our butt. Did I get on here and start talking junk about the Bears? Nope. The Bears just got trashed last night. Did I come on here and talk junk about the Bears? No. Why? Because they whooped our butts. Do I talk junk about the Steelers? No. Why? Because they got 6 Super Bowl rings. Recognize and respect. And don't be so doggone rude. Just cut it out. It's blasphemous. It's rhetoric. And I'm tired of it. I'm going to start disowning all you Cowboy fans. When you go out, you get on Twitter, you get on Facebook, you go to the bars and the clubs, you know how to act. I'm going to disown you all. And that's all I got to say about that.
I will say, T, the funny thing about it is that, you know, a few people in my family, when we watch down, we sit and watch the Cowboys game, they're rooting for Dallas to lose. And I just begin to ask them, like, why do y'all want them to lose so bad? And their one common answer is they get tired of the Cowboys fans talking noise more than anybody else, no matter how good or bad the team is doing. So I guess there are some people who have the same mutual feeling that you have when it comes to some fans of the Cowboy Nation.
Well, I'm tired of it, and I'm going to start a movement. You know,
there's absolutely nothing to brag about with this team right now. We can be optimistic all we want, but when it comes to trying to be braggadocious and put down teams like the Patriots, it's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous, and I'm not standing for it.
All right. Cowboys struggle against the Browns. Can they win the NFC?
All right, so let me just break this down for everybody. I've been hearing for the last couple of days it was the Browns, and to some degree I agree with you. It was the Browns, okay? A team that was 2-7 and now 2-8. But let's remember this: this is the same Browns team that took the Baltimore Ravens to 9-6. This is the same Browns team that jumped up on the Giants 14-0. This is the same Browns team that I said throughout the year, keep an eye on, they're better than you think. Okay, so the positive here is even though they're 2-7 and now 2-8, this is a game that Dallas almost blew. They go down 13-0, and then they come back, take control of the game, and then Romo has a fumble,
and they almost blow this game, but they found a way to win. And isn't that, at the end of the day, what it's all about? So I don't want to hear anybody taking away this victory because it was the Browns. Houston just played the Jags. Granted, it's a division opponent, but it's still the Jags 1-9, and they had to go in overtime to beat a 1-8 team that's now 1-9. Let's you know, and Atlanta, you know, a team that had lost 5 in a row, Arizona, and they struggled against them. That's not a division opponent. So sometimes things like this in the NFL happen. It doesn't mean that it's not a good win. It brings excuse me. It brings Dallas to 5-5, facing the Redskins on Thursday. And here's the reality of it. If the Dallas Cowboys win on Thursday and the Giants lose to the Packers, which is not out of the realm of reality, guess what? The Dallas Cowboys have the tiebreaker over the Giants based on division record and are in first place. So all of a sudden, when we talk about the Cowboys winning the NFC East, it becomes feasible again. A few weeks ago, they were 3-5. The Giants were 6-2, and it just looked futile. Well, the Cowboys have won 2 in a row. The Giants have lost 2 in a row. And if the Cowboys can win this next one and the Giants lose, they'll both be 6-5. The Cowboys will have the tiebreaker. So can it be done? Absolutely. Will it be done? I guess we'll have to wait and see. Similar thing happened last year, except they had to face each other head-to-head, and the Giants were able to pull it out and win, and the Cowboys didn't go to the playoff. But don't write this team off yet. And let me also say this to all the Romo detractors, especially the one that's on this call that was just 3 weeks ago was ready to bench Tony Romo. I'm curious to know what his thoughts are on Tony Romo now, because in the last 3 games, no interceptions, and he's had the 1 fumble in the last 3 games. The Cowboys in the last 3 games, 1 fumble. That's the only turnover. This was almost the 3rd time in franchise history that they've gone 3 games in a row without a turnover. It doesn't happen often. So if this team can get some protection on Romo, because there's a problem with the offensive line, they're on their 3rd center. I don't care who you are. When you're on your 3rd center and you're in your 10th game, that's a problem. They're starting 1st-round draft pick, offensive tackle, left the game with a high ankle sprain. We don't know his status for Thursday. Okay, there's problems on that offensive line because nobody played. And that offensive line, you had 5 people that all played a different position last year playing in this game against the Browns. That's significant. Bill Callahan, I don't care how good of a coach you are, there's no consistency there. So that's the problem. That's the Achilles heel. If they can get that offensive line tightened up, look out, because that's the problem on offense. You get that fixed. Yes, this team can make a run. You know, they have the Saints and they have the Steelers. Beyond that, they've got some games that they can win. They can beat the Redskins. You know, they can beat the Redskins. They will beat the Eagles. The Eagles are horrible, terrible. You know, they can beat the Bengals. Now, they can lose some of these games too, but they can win some of these games. So, you know, and the Giants, when you look at their schedule, Ravens, Atlanta, Packers, look out. That's all I'm saying is look out. Dallas may you know, shock everybody and wake up and win that division.
Okay, so I forgot to ask, did you have any comments towards the Cowboy Nation, towards Steve Bunnick, or, you know,
topics? I mean, you know, that's just obnoxious fans. I don't think that's just Cowboy fans. I mean, you can lump a lot of them in there. But, I mean, there's Steeler fans like that, myself included at times. But back to the Cowboys. The thing that was pointed at me about Romo, he's playing a lot better, you know, and he needed to. And as a result, they're winning these games lately. So, you know, they can't turn the ball over in these games, clearly, and they haven't. And as long as they keep doing that, they're going to be in great position to win the game. About the Browns game, though, real quick, I wanted your opinion on it, because I didn't see you on Twitter or anything like that. I asked Train about it. That Miles Austin no-call fumble, the incomplete pass that they didn't review, did you at the time feel as if it was a fumble, or did you feel they got it right? What was your thought process during once it unfolded? Because I thought from my end of it, it was a fumble. What were your thoughts on it?
I never ever once thought it was a fumble. I looked at the play, and when it happened, I said he never had possession. He did take 2 steps, but if you look at his hands, the ball is moving. It wasn't that he secured the ball and put it away. They do say you have to catch secure and make a football move. He caught, but the ball was never secured while he made the move. So I said this in the bar. I said, I think that that was an incomplete pass. I don't think it was a fumble. I just didn't see that he secured the ball enough to where it got knocked out because it was secured. I don't think he had full grasp of the ball. And I said that right on the spot.
I saw that same play, and I thought it was a fumble because I felt that Miles Austin was actually switching the ball to what was his right arm to get control of when he caught it. I felt like he had control of what he was doing actually with the ball. It was moving, no doubt, but it was moving because he was actually moving, not because he didn't have control, but because he was moving it. That was my take on the catch. I thought Miles Austin was the one that was moving the ball, and that would consider him having control.
Yeah, it's from my end of it, the only reason why I felt was a fumble at the time was because it seemed as if, again, he was in the ball himself for a possession to just make a catch and run type effort. Actually, it did get 3 feet down, so a little confused of why it wasn't called a fumble, but what can you do? Cowboys won the game. Wasn't just because of one play. It was a long game, but I just thought that was like an interesting pivotal play in that game.
By interpretation of the rule, it's an incomplete pass simply because the ball was moving.
Right.
By interpretation of the rule.
And when I saw the play, I immediately said incomplete pass. Before it became a controversy, I had already out of my mouth said incomplete pass. Then they started showing it and all of that, and I said, y'all may want to hurry up and snap that ball, but I still think it's incomplete pass.
Yeah.
Because there was enough doubt where someone could see it differently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I will say about the Cowboys struggling with the Browns, I got a chance to listen to the Friday show, and towards the end of the Friday show, to get some of T's last words. This is the Browns coming in. Can we blow out a bad football team? I'm tired of struggling against bad football teams. But at the end of the day, the Browns are a pro football team. And I would just say, hey, you came out with the win. And at the end of the day, the W is all that matters. And they're definitely a team that have given other good teams, or the teams that I would consider better than the Cowboys, they've given those teams fits. So, with that said, I mean, you've got to be glad that you come out with a win. And with the way the NFC picture is, NFC East is the picture is unfolding with wins and losses, Cowboys got as good a chance as the Giants to win a division. And, man, that would be funny. I mean, I can't even remember who was my divisional pick from the beginning.
I think that was the end of the year.
I did say that they're a bad team and I wanted to blow them out. And the fact that in the second half we outscored them 23-7, the Cowboys did wake up in the second half. I don't know what the hell they put on that field in the first half. It was just not, it was just not a good performance in the first half. And but second half they began to woke up. If they had played four quarters that way, it wouldn't even have been a close game. I think the only thing that really Cleveland had is Richardson. Richardson's a beast.
Oh yeah,
and
really good.
Yeah, and even that we held him 3.4 yards a carry. You know, he didn't get 100 yards. He had 28 carries, 95 yards, 3.4 carry. So I mean, but what I'm saying is there are good teams that have had struggles against this team. I think their front seven on defense is underrated. You know, I think it's a lot better than people, scout out. And particularly if you're going up with, out of position linemen, backups, that and the such as the Cowboys were. I mean, Romo was sacked 7 times. He was hit 10 times, an additional 10 times in that game. Threw the ball 50 times, and yet, no picks, and did have that one fumble, I want K-Star to comment on the fact that his coach 3 weeks ago was ready to bench Tony Romo, and he came on the air and said he leads the league in turnovers. I don't understand what's going on here. We need to bench Tony Romo, and Tony Romo hasn't had a pick in those 3 games that you're ready to bench him.
When I said I want to bench Tony Romo, I want to be clear about that real quick. It wasn't for the duration of the season. And I believe, in my estimation on watching what Cal had to say, was I don't think he was necessarily saying the rest of the season either. What I think he was saying is during those a couple of those games this year where the Cowboys got down, it was because of turnovers and bunches early from the quarterback. So I think what he was trying to imply and say, and I don't necessarily disagree with it, is – potentially put Ormeck in the game for the close game to maybe get a team a spark to get through the game, not, you know, for the rest of the season.
Oh, so
Romo played well these past couple of games.
I like the Monday morning quarterbacking now. I love it.
Okay, so I just rather you go ahead and come out and say, look, Tony Romo turned it around.
I have been saying that.
I mean, when you talk about benching a person, you don't talk about benching a person for a few games. You talk about benching a person because you want to see better play at the quarterback position, and you were sincerely considering that Kyle Orton would get better play. You got to own up to that, man. You were ready to bench that dude, and that dude has turned it around.
He has turned it around. He's done a wonderful job. Maybe Bill Cowher and K-Star or myself. Lit a fuse under his ass. You know, you're welcome. You're welcome, America. Cowboys Nation, you're welcome.
You didn't light nothing under his ass.
You're welcome, everybody.
I told you guys last year that after Romo plays poorly, he wakes up and he's going to get on track. It happened last year. I said it's going to happen this year. Okay? He realized that he was pressing too much. He's going to take a little pressure off himself, and we're going to see a more efficient Tony Romo, and that's what we've seen. You know, that's what we've seen. And let me tell you something. I compare the Cowboy Cleveland game to the Chicago San Francisco game on one level. Now, don't mistake me, K-Star, because I know you're ready to jump down my throat. I am not saying that the Browns are as good as the 49ers. I'm not saying it at all, okay, because they're not in the same conversation. But what I'm saying is, they put as much pressure on Tony Romo as the 49ers put on Jason Campbell. And if Cutler had been in that game, I think it would have been a more competitive game because he would have had better skills, better instincts to adapt to that pressure than Campbell did. He would have given them a chance to at least compete, which is what Tony did against the Browns because he knew this is all
I got. I don't disagree with that. I mean, you're not really arguing for me there. I saw bunches of that game. They were getting a lot of pressure on him early. I think what's changed as far as Romo goes the last few games is that he's more willing to take a sack now rather than throw the ball, a questionable ball up in the air and it get picked. He's kind of wanting to play behind a shoddy, to put it nicely, pass-protecting offensive line this season and went through some growing pains early.
I don't think that's the case. I think I've seen shuffle passes when he was about to get sacked. I saw it last week. He's about to go down and shuffle passes. I've still seen those plays. I just think, you know, he understands how important it is to protect the ball, and there are some games that he unfortunately doesn't get it done. It's as simple as that. But he gets it. He's not new to this. He gets it. But there's just some games where he doesn't get it done.
Now, T, I will say, I do like the comparison that you made with the fact that Cutler will adjust, like Tony Romo adjust behind his offensive line because he knows his offensive line. And the one thing that I felt was missing in that game, and people will down Jay Cutler for his demeanor and his interactions with his offensive line, but I bet you that offensive line would have gotten cussed out for what they were doing last night against Jason Campbell. And I have no doubt
sure
Tony Romo gets into his offensive line in the same way when they're not, you know, regardless of who's in, regardless of how deep you got to go, regardless of who's injured, you got to get the job done. And so, you know, Cal Orton.
I did see him. Cal Orton, I think it was Jones on one play, by the way.
Say it again.
I did see actually on one occasion where Romo got on Felix Jones for missing the blitzing backer.
Yeah. I mean that's what your starting quarterback does, man, and that's the kind of respect he demands. And then the other, when the game is kind of going sour when the line isn't doing what they're supposed to do. He took the foot in their ass, and they straightened up. And that's definitely what was missing last night for Chicago, but it wasn't missing for the Cowboys because they finally got it together and they pulled out a win.
Yeah, I mean, let me just put it this way. I think that, you know, when you have a game like this, you know, and you know, we're going to talk about the Steelers. We've talked about the Bears. And, you know, I'm actually – I've had you guys, you know, Trey knows a little bit about what's going on in my world, but I've had a pretty challenging couple of weeks lately. And I was actually pleased that I can come on the show tonight. And this might be the first time all year that I'm able to come on the show and actually we won and both the Bears and the Steelers lost. You know what I'm saying? Might be the first time, so I'm actually enjoying that. let me just say this, and then we can move on to the next topic. You know, when we talk about one of the questions was, can the Cowboys win the NFC East? Okay, and you know, we listen to people talk about the Giants, what happened last year, and let me just say this, okay? I can assure you that when these guys are on the field playing the game, they're not thinking about what happened a year ago. I appreciate statistical information to try to predict the future. But, you know, I work in financial services, okay? And they will tell you in investing that past performance is not an indicator of future return, okay? So just because the Giants a year ago were 7-7 and then got on a run and made it to the playoffs and won the Super Bowl doesn't mean that's going to happen this year. It's a different year. And teams are different. Players are different. You know, it's just a different year. It's a different, you know, and so I appreciate all of that stuff. Numbers never lie, and Stephen A. Smith, and all the procrastinators like to come on there and say this is the way it's going to be. We've seen this before. Dallas is 500. They've been 500. They're 125 and 125 since 1997. But I can assure you that when they go on the field Thursday to play the Redskins, they're not thinking about that. They're thinking, we need to beat the Redskins. We need to contain RG3, and we need to put some points on the board. So all that stuff is nice for radio shows and TV shows, but it really doesn't matter. It just doesn't. So, guys, all you people out there that do that, let it go. It's not relevant. It means nothing. What means something now is the Giants have lost two in a row. And that last game against the Bengals, they looked terrible, period. No excuses. I don't want to hear they were tired. They looked terrible. At the same time, the Cowboys won two in a row. I'm not going to give them any style points for what they did against the Browns. We know the Eagles are horrible. So, okay, they beat two teams they were supposed to beat, but they beat them. So can they win the NFC East? Absolutely. And let me tell you this. I'll pick this up on the next show. I'm very close to saying they're going to win the NFC. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm pretty close.
Mm. Well, since you said that, T, let's segue real quickly into this last part of our Cowboy topic. Better chances of the playoffs, thanks to the Cowboys. They're both at 5-5.
Well, I'm going to say this, and this is a tough one for me because I'm the one that's pretty much said, even at 0-4, don't count the Saints out. I've pretty much said that Drew Brees is world class. We talk about Tom Brady, we talk about Peyton Manning, but how can you not put Drew Brees in that category? He's a phenomenal. He's a leader. He's a baller. He can play this game. Okay, and shot caller. I mean, you know what I mean? but it's true. Now, have they dug? Let's talk about the Saints for a minute. Have they dug too deep a hole at 5-5? They're not going to win the division, okay? They're four games behind Atlanta with 16 games to go. It's just unlikely. So now they got to get in with a wild card spot. Right now, when you look at wild card spots, you've got the Bears at 7-3. You've got the Vikings at 6-4. You've got the Bucks at 6-4. You've got the Seahawks at 6-4. So could the Saints get in as a wild card? Absolutely. They're one game out of the second wild card spot that three teams are fighting for. They're one game out, guys. I want everybody out there in Madden land, in Madden voice land, to hear that a team that started 0-4, now with six games to play, is one game out record-wise from being tied. Now, I don't know how all the tiebreakers would work, but they're one game out. So absolutely they could win. They could get into the playoffs. But who has a better chance? You have to say the Cowboys have a better chance because they're one game out from winning the division. They're also one game out from a wild card spot because they have the same record as the Saints, and they're going to play the Saints down the road. So that game could be for a wild card spot, or it could be a game the Cowboys need to clinch the division. We'll wait and see. But you have to say, because the Cowboys are in the same position as the Saints on the wild card land, one game out, and they're also one game out of division, while the Saints are four games out of division. So you have to say statistically, even though I think the Saints' championship pedigree, and you can never count them out, I have to say, if you had to look at which team has a better chance, you got to say the Cowboys have a better chance. That's how I look at it.
I'll keep it simple. I'll say it's the Cowboys because they have a chance to win the division. And you win a division, you get a playoff spot, period. And they have a better chance to win the division than the Saints have a better chance of winning, of getting a wild card spot. Because they have to fight some teams, and they have to fight. And those teams include the Cowboys, who more likely will probably meet that game to clinch their division. And the way I look at the Saints is they're one or two games away from not being in the playoffs. Because they get six or seven losses, they're not gone.
Yeah, I got to agree with all of you guys on that. I mean, just the math alone says the Cowboys, because they still have a chance to win their division. They're a game back. The Saints, about three or four back from Atlanta. It's just a tougher road for New Orleans to get in than Dallas, because Dallas has two opportunities, basically, to New Orleans just one via wild card. So you got to go with the Cowboys because of the math. They face actually a much softer schedule. I believe they only play two winning teams the rest of the way. The Cowboys do. And, I mean, they might even play by Steelers without Big Ben Roethlisberger, which, I mean, we already know what that means for us. It's not a good look. But it's got to be Dallas. So we'll see. I wouldn't go as far to say that the Giants are done. We got to wait. And I know you're holding off on it, which is smart, because the Giants are coming up a bye week. We got to see what they look like, because that could also be fluky. But we'll see.
Oh, I would never say the Giants are done at this point. I would never say that. I mean, even if the Cowboys win and the Giants lose, they're still both 6-5. Cowboys have a better division record, but they're still both 6-5, five games ago. Anything can happen. So, oh, no. I've been down this road before.
I want to say, don't do it to yourself. You do not do it.
No.
Yeah, I was just making sure.
Are you telling him not to do what you've been doing for the past couple of weeks, saying that the Ravens are done and they're sitting there 8-2?
You know what? Thank God bless him, because, yeah. You know what? Can we just talk
man.
About this now? This
wow.
is a sore subject, because the circumstances in which all this went down. The circumstances, you know what? Jake, he deserved Jason Campbell. He deserved Jason Campbell for that comment, okay? That's all I said.
I'm only repeating what you said.
I want to say this. And I'm going to, K-Star, you're going to get ample time because we won't get into this topic. But Train gets the Comment of the Night Award. Man, that was...
Well, no one can predict injury.
All I'm saying is, dude, they were sitting at 6-2. Who's that? Ray Lewis goes down. Suggs fights his way to get back into the lineup. Comes back from a torn Achilles in, 6 months? And your words were, the Ravens are done. And right now, they're sitting at 8-2. With you guys at 6-4, two games ahead on the division, and they've beaten you once with no Big Ben. Now you talk about pie in the face, boy.
You know what? Again, I'll just say this. Before we go in for a break, it's tough to predict injuries, and that's what affected.
That's what we've been saying. Oh, my God. Hey, I know, Mr. No Excuses, No Explanations didn't come on and say injury.
Well,
What is their franchise quarterback against the Chiefs? Did anyone predict the Big Ben to go down versus the Chiefs for and have an injury in which that he is life threatening? I mean, if you did, hey, let's get a lottery ticket or something together because
you felt pretty good about Byron Leftwich, didn't you?
You actually did.
Byron,
you
know what? You know what? I didn't. I wanted to throw my mouth during the game watching him play. No, I felt good about our defense. Our defense held it down.
Listen, guys.
I mean, they had to pull out a nail biter. Oh, go ahead, T. Go ahead.
No, I just want to say, and I'll let you get. But let me just say this: both of you guys have learned a valuable lesson. There's a reason that these veteran quarterbacks are not starters. This isn't Kaepernick. This isn't Wilson or Flynn. These are veterans, and both of you guys have learned. I told you both, and you both stood up for your quarterbacks, and both your quarterbacks were horrible. Both of them were horrible. Okay, I mean, I get it. Leftwich broke ribs during the game, and I get it. He was still horrible. Okay, he was still horrible.
You're not going to get argument.
No, he just was. I like Charlie Batch. I've always thought Charlie Batch was a suitable backup quarterback in the NFL. He was good as a starter for a while way back. Detroit, I believe he played for. He was pretty good for a while, but now he's a backup. But he's, to me, like John Kitner. John Kitner was a starter in Cincinnati for a while, ran out of starter ability, was a competent backup. There are quarterbacks. I don't know about Kyle Orton yet. Maybe not. We'll see. But there are guys that are competent backups. Mark Brunell, right, for a long time. Todd Collins. There are guys that you can say that about. I felt very good, honestly, that Charlie Batch was one of those guys. Competent backup. Okay? Byron Leftwich, Jason Campbell, not. And now we see the impact on your teams and how important it is to get your franchise quarterbacks in there. And so, but back to Train's comment. I mean, yeah, man, you had the Ravens dead without Ray Lewis, Webb being out, and oh man, bro, you're one game better than the Cowboys right now.
Yeah, I mean, you came back. You just came back and said injury, and that was the song that I was singing when Polamalu was gone, when you guys were lost. Three offensive linemen in one game, and Mike Van Pouncey eventually came back, and some other guys came back. But that's the song that I was singing a while back. You guys were suffering too many injuries to just overtake that division from the Ravens, and now you suffer the one injury that you really just can't recover from. Without Big Ben, you can't go far. I mean, it's good that you're sitting at 6-4, and I guess I really have to support your statement from last week when you called the AFC weak, because I did take a look at the records, and yeah, you guys are actually sitting pretty at 6-4. You're sitting right there at the spot, and because of the way that the defense is playing, even without Polamalu, you guys have a pretty good chance of just solidifying this 6-seed, but that's as far as you guys go now.
I have to comment on what you just said though. You said that they could solidify the sixth seed. That's what you just said, Trent. If Ben is out for the year, there's no solidifying anything. They need Ben in that lineup. We'll see what Batch can do. We haven't played in a while. But this team needs Ben. Let's be clear about that. There's no way they're going to get a 6-seed if Ben's out for the year. Unless Batch plays like last time we've seen him play, which has been, it's been a while since Batch has played consecutive games. So I just wanted to comment on that one statement, Trey. You can continue.
Not necessarily need to defend my statement. I'm just saying they got a good lead as far as
mathematically we're in very good shape as far as playoff season goes. We can actually afford to lose quite a couple more games and be okay. But
team I think can take that 6-seed from you really easily, and I think that's the Bengals, because you guys have only played them once and you got to see them again, and they are healthy. And they are starting to play better ball.
I agree. That's the team that could sneak its way into the wild card race. Really don't know what Indianapolis could do. They could end up imploding because it's still a really young football team. But, you know, Pittsburgh did defeat Cincinnati at Cincinnati earlier this year, but of course that was with Big Ben. I don't think, and it sounded like from what Mike Tomlin said, Big Ben's doubtful for this Sunday. Obviously he's not going to play. But to me, it sounds like Big Ben's probably going to miss the next few games and be back. I don't think he's out for a season. No one can truly predict that. This is all preliminary, obviously, because he's a very interesting circumstance with his rib situation. We will see, but maybe it's just holding me. I don't see him being gone the rest of the year. And also, I got to bring this up because, as we all know, watching the ESPN News and NFL Network, the Steelers brought in Plexico Burress, hopefully to help our offensive woes that developed against the Ravens with Byron Leftwich at quarterback. Let me tell you something. I'm excited about this, and not just because he's a really good player in Madden. As we all know, Plexico Burress is a beast, massive for six. No, in real life, he's going to help us a lot, especially when Ben comes back as a red zone target, as a guy that you can throw a jump ball to. He had 8 touchdowns last year with Mark Sanchez. Ben could benefit greatly from him. But aside from Plexico Burress, what really made me happy today was when I read Mike Tomlin's press conference transcript, and Troy Polamalu was questionable this Sunday. Now, with us being in parallel without Big Ben, let me tell you something. You know, if we need a life raft, let me tell you who's a guy that the Steelers can use. That's Troy Polamalu. He's a game changer. The man can create a turnover on the flip of a dime. We need him. With him coming back possibly this Sunday, we could definitely use him as Cleveland. They gave Dallas a tough test. That could really turn our fortunes around and really make sure that we can hold the fort down without Big Ben for these next couple of games because he's just that kind of a football player. And I hope no one forgot that the impact this guy brings on the football field and from X's standpoint, this guy's phenomenal. And our defense already has been very good this season. This is the only way to help us get better. We need him. We absolutely need him without Ben Roethlisberger. That's what really did for me. That made my whole day.
Yeah, I will say if Polamalu was able to come back and still play at the level that he normally plays in, I think that's a huge boost because I've seen the Steelers without Big Ben but with Polamalu.
Oh, yeah,
and
we held it down.
And they were able to hold it down. They were actually able to just continue to win games. And they had a four-game. Yeah. They won. Did they win the 4 games from Big Ben without?
We went 3-1, and Troy that was when Troy won MVP that year, defense MVP, because he was just carrying the team as far as defensive.
All right, listen, someone's got to say it, because I don't get it. I'm going to say what I said last week, and I don't understand. K-Star, you cannot sit there and talk about how elite Big Ben is, how great he is, 2 Super Bowl championships, top 5 quarterback in the NFL, about to pass, if he didn't already, Terry Bradshaw, statistically. And then when he's out, oh, well, Troy's coming back, and, I think we'll be okay. No. We don't know if Ben's out for the year or not. We know he's not playing Sunday past that. I've heard speculation that there is a chance he could be out for the year. Obviously, it's too early. We don't know. But let me tell you something. Look at your schedule. You've got Cleveland twice, okay? Without Ben, Cleveland wins one of those games, okay, without Ben. With Ben, it's a different team. Without Ben, Cleveland wins one of those games. Let's look at the rest of your games. Baltimore in Baltimore, loss without Ben. San Diego at home, loss. Dallas in Dallas, no Ben, loss. Cincinnati at home, no Ben, loss. Without Ben for the rest of the year, you're 7-19 and no playoffs. I don't care if Troy plays or not. You can't rely on Troy right now. Troy's world class. I'm not disrespecting Troy. He's been hurt. He came back once. What did he play? Half a game, and he was out again and hasn't been back. So just because he's listed as questionable, you can't get excited till a guy gets on the field and plays a whole game and is okay to come back and play because right now that injury has had him out, 7 games this year? So you can't start banking on that. You have to bank on who you have, and who you have right now isn't getting it done.
Well, listen, I'm encouraged by our defensive play. Our defense is holding it down. You know, we had that issue earlier where I was worried that maybe defensively we couldn't find a solution without him. Well, we've done that. So my point is that Edge just adds more of a playmaking element. It ups our chances significantly of landing a wild card spot without Van, because we're going to need to generate some turnovers to win these type of games. As far as the whole Big Bang common elite, you know, that's valid. That's fair. But, again, we don't really need – it's like we need to reel off all these wins. I don't think that's going to happen even with Troy in the lineup. If we just win two games without Ben in the lineup, I think we'll be okay. I think we're in decent shape there. I mean, again, I don't think that we're just going to go undefeated the rest of the way. That's ignorant to believe that. But the way the defense is playing, we're going to be in every single game regardless. So with Troy in there, my point is if we can generate some more turnovers, that could definitely provide us the spark we need to do, hopefully, to hold it down when Ben's not in there. There's a lot of hopefulness involved in it.
Yeah, it's all hope because we saw a very good Bears defense.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Embarrassing without Cutler as their starting quarterback. And there is some relevance to when your team leader is out, it affects the entire team. The team is on their heels. And so it's a lot of wishful thinking. Don't get me wrong. I'm not speaking as a Cowboy fan. I'm speaking as a realist that when your franchise, and Ben is the truth, and when he's out, you're in trouble. You need him back in that lineup quickly. I know you want to spin it. I know you don't want to go find the nearest bridge. I need to keep the razor blades away from you. I get all that, okay? I get all that. But the reality is he is the most important guy on that team. He, on his own, can win you games.
Absolutely.
That's how good this guy is. If he can win games on his own, and without him, you guys are in trouble. You need him back on that field, and you better pray to God, I mean, that you can get by Cleveland, because let me tell you something. This is a team that went into Dallas and gave Dallas everything they could handle, and now they know their season's done, but now they're going to – a division rival? Spoiler?
Hey, they're looking to spoil everyone. Whoever they play, they're looking to spoil them.
That's right. You know, and this is at home, too?
Yeah.
The dog pound or whatever they call it, you know? So, I mean, man, y'all, man, if I were you, I mean, we're going to talk about games, but this one isn't on the list. But I'll say this. I don't know. Y'all, be worried. Be very, very worried.
All right. We got a few of the topics. I would like to hit these topics definitely before we get to our power rankings. But quickly, Patriots, I mean, freaking blew out the Colts. Did they run it up, and the impact on Gronkowski's injury? T, I'll let you start this one.
You say me or K? Sorry.
T, sorry.
Oh,
Miss T.
Did they run it up? Yep, absolutely. I get the whole Madden concept of if you can't stop me, I'm going to keep scoring. But, you know, I still feel like I've got a problem with that. I still feel like, why? You know, I still don't see the point in it. The game's over. You've won the game. Why? I mean, there's a point in time where you take players out. And, you know, what's going to happen? And it hasn't happened yet, but, you know, let's look at the Eagles. The Eagles were done, right? And they left McCoy in, and the guy gets carted off the field with a concussion. You know, I mean, it's just stupid. You're going to risk Brady. Look at Gronkowski now, right? You know,
yeah.
He breaks his forearm because he's in the game late in the game like that. And now he's out for 2 to 4 weeks with a broken forearm. Now, granted, they got Hernandez, who's supposed to be back, and they've got a few other. But still, I mean, when do you learn, when you're up by 30 points, sit your starters, for crying out loud. But, hey, he's the coach. 5 Super Bowls, 3 Super Bowl championships. But I don't agree with it. You know, just the second part of this. I mean, you know, I will agree. I mean, maybe not so much on the whole MVP thing, but just as the Patriots as a team now, they've won 4 in a row. They blew out what many consider to be a pretty good Indianapolis team. Blew them out. It was never even a game. You know, I think the Patriots, believe it or not, if any team, you know, 2 teams that look like they're almost flying under the radar right now are the Patriots and the Packers. And they're both 7-3 and looking pretty good. Now, all of a sudden, the Packers went from – you know, not even on anyone's power ranking, to now being division leaders, you know? Yeah. And the Patriots now 4 in a row. So, yeah, I mean, look out. These teams, they're coming on strong right now.
Who would have ever thought of Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers-led squads, the Patriots and the Packers, would ever be a little bit under the radar, and they are. It's a little crazy to me.
I will say about the whole Patriots dominant, I agree with you. See, it's definitely run up the score, and I just feel like I'm just going to take it. I'm just going to take and go left with it. I just feel like Gronk's injury is just karma. That's what I feel like when I look at it. It's just karma. If you don't want to show at least some decent, what I would consider sportsmanship, was just putting in your running backs or putting in your backup and just kind of letting them end the game. I mean, because we tore Tennessee a new one, and we had second stringers in there, you know, especially on defense. I think Cutler still finished out the game, but he finished out handing the ball off, not passing it. And here they are. They running it up, then you lose to pretty much your best pass catcher on your team. That is Scarlett Garmin. Hey,
okay.
Another huge topic. Man, am I pissed about this one? Ed Reed suspended. Is it justified?
All right, here you go. I want K-Star's comment on this one. K-Star,
yes.
The floor is yours.
You know what? I hate the Ravens. I really do, but it's not at all justified. It's ridiculous. I mean, look, the hit on Emmanuel Sanders didn't appear to be malicious intent. It was a high hit. Big deal. It happens all the time. I want to suspend the guy over it. Just like last season when it happened with James Harrison and his prior infractions. That's what the NFL tried to say here with Ed Reed. I wouldn't suspend him then either. When watching him against the Steelers, I didn't see any malicious intent. It was Ravens Steelers. I don't know really what you expected. No rules necessarily broken or indicative of a suspension being caused by it. So, no. You know what? As much as I hate the Ravens, I have to side with them here. That was BS. Real quick, though, they actually reduced the suspension. They had an appeal today. Ed Reed won. He is now just fined. I say just, but for NFL athletes, just fined $50,000, and will be able to play this Sunday. So a little bit of reversal there. They changed it, yes.
Oh, wow. Still, I'm still pissed. I'm still mad that it even took that. Because here's my thing with this. For one, when you're playing safety, you have to make a judgment. You have to make a judgment quickly. And you're taught to dislodge that ball, you know what I'm saying, when you hit an opponent. They go after these receivers, when they go up for this ball, you know, they already have their target because they got to make sure they get the ball out. Now, if the receiver catches the ball and then bends to protect himself or balls up to protect himself, now you all of a sudden got maybe a helmet-to-helmet collision. But it's not because the safety took a bad target as the receiver. Now, you have safeties that have leaked from they spearhead. They leaked from, like, 2 yards away, leading with a helmet. That's not Ed Reed. I've never seen him do that in a play. But when you look at the hit on Emmanuel Sanders, that was bull. That was that was a bunch of bull. And then to turn around and try to suspend this man, try to suspend someone who plays the safety position as good as anyone in the league, next to Troy Polamalu? Are you serious? I understand safety. But this here? Is this right here? What's that? Oh, this is a bunch of bull.
Do you want me to add to your anger? I'm going to add to your anger, Trent.
Please do, T.
Okay.
Please.
And I'm adding to it with facts, and I appreciate K-Star updating us because I didn't know I was teaching this evening, so I didn't know that the fine was the suspension was reduced because he would have, you know, $420,000 he wouldn't have gotten paid, which is ridiculous. But this had to be ratified by the vice president of football operations, okay? Do you guys know who that is?
No.
It's Merton Hanks. Merton Hanks played cornerback for the San Francisco 49ers. So the guy who was responsible for ratifying this decision, the guy who said, yep, this is a valid penalty for what we define as repeated behavior, played cornerback for the 49ers. This isn't like Goodell coming down, who was never a player. This is a guy who played in the secondary, who understands, Train, what you were saying about when you make hits in the secondary and sometimes you target and people move and blah, blah. He understands this. Vernon Hanks was an above-average
wasn't Hall of Fame, but he was above average cornerback in the NFL. He was pretty good. How the hell, how do you become a part of the establishment where you forget the position? I mean, granted, safety and cornerback's a little bit different, but it's still defensive back. You're making, you're covering and you're hitting. I don't understand. I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. And I will echo Train's concerns that you are penalizing a guy who, you know, we know who the dirty players are in the NFL. This isn't Cortland Finnegan. You know, this is a guy who is well-respected and well-liked, former Defensive Player of the Year, perennial Pro Bowler. I mean, how do you penalize him? This is not the guy you make a statement with. Not at all. It was ridiculous that it even was put out there in the first place.
I'm going to tell you what pisses me off even more when they come with these penalties and fines as a player. They have all of the replay information that they need. Not understand it's a judgment call. On the field, if a flag gets thrown, fine. That right there is that's judgment on the ref. He has to make a decision. He has to make it fast. If he ends up getting 15 yards, cool. Hey, just keep playing. You know what I'm saying? Because you outplay the team, you'll win the game regardless. You know, some penalties hurt, some don't, but you keep playing. But after the fact, when you can actually go and review the film, and you can get a better understanding on whether this player was malicious or not, and you still come with, oh, we're going to suspend him and almost cost him almost $500,000 by doing so? I mean, who the hell is looking at the replay? Who is making this judgment call? Because even the replay says that Emmanuel Sanders balled up for the impact. Therefore, that helmet was going to collide because he's not in the same position he was when Avery went to make his move. And it's happening to all the safeties around the league. These receivers are balling up for the impact so they know it's coming. That's how it's been done in the past. So some helmets would collide. If you want to throw the flag in the game, it's one thing. But to come after the game and see the film and review it and still take a stance to find them, it's ridiculous. It's bad judgment. It's horrible judgment. Damn, I'm a fan at home, and I can see that before I even, without even having the game, to overlook it millions of times.
Can't say that I disagree. All right.
Next topic. I know we you normally told me not to worry about time too much, but we got Philly Whoop, I guess real quickly. Andy Reid, he still has a job. And I know you put this up there, D, so I'll let you go with this one.
I'm irritated. I'm aggravated. I'm annoyed. Because I had to listen for 2 weeks, Jason Garrett's on a hot seat. I sat there and said, Jason Garrett's not on a hot seat. Jason Garrett's going to get fired. Mike Holmgren wants the job. Blah, 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 blah. And in the meantime, Andy Reid's 3-7. The team is pathetic. Got beaten by Dallas. Got blown up by Washington. The team, they're horrible. They're horrible. They're horrible. To me right now, if I had to choose, I'd say they're the worst team in the NFL right now. They're pathetic. Okay? And maybe Kansas City's worse than them. Other than Kansas City. I mean, we saw the Jags fight against Houston. So I can't even say the Jags are 1-9. They're terrible. But they fought against Houston. Okay? So, listen. Excuse me. Listen. I understand that it's funny. I understand that it's tragic, okay? And I get that. But this is a business. You know, this is a business. You know, he's made millions and millions and millions of dollars being a coach of that team. He's probably making $2 to $4 million a year. 13 years. Okay. So he's made, you know, $30 million coaching at least. All right? He's set. The Cowboys were 1-7 a couple of years ago under Wade Phillips, and it wasn't just that they were 1-7, it was they had quit. Green Bay came in and annihilated them, very similar to what Washington did to them this weekend. And ceremoniously, Wade Phillips was fired, even though Parcells kept saying, Jerry Jones, I'm going to stick with him. Well, finally said, he's got to go. and he got rid of him. And Jason Garrett was interim head coach, and they finished 5-3. And at one point, even looked like maybe they could get into the playoffs, but it didn't happen. But finished the season 5-3, so they were 6-10. Okay, starting 1-7. And it propelled the team on to hopefully some better things. The point I'm making is Andy Reid should be fired. Period. I don't understand why he still got his job. I don't get it. Fire him. Fire him.
Well, I'll say this one. I think if it was any other head coach or any other head coach that had only been with the team, you know, just hired, you know, 3 years ago and had that 3 years to try to turn the team around or 2 years or what have you, I think they would be fired. And I think because it's Andy Reid and he has such a long tenure, they're probably going to let him ride out the year. But I definitely don't see him coming back. That's just my take on it. But you do look at it and wonder, like, man, any other coach, this dude would be gone. Any other coach, he would be gone.
Yeah.
But I think his 10 years will keep him there.
I mean, at the same time, I want him there long enough so we can play him again.
K-Star, any comments on that one?
You know, actually, I had said a couple of weeks ago that they lost to Dallas Bay. I thought he'd be fired. Instead, they lost to Washington big, which is truly inexcusable. I'm surprised by it, but I'm not surprised, too, just because, again, considering what, and maybe it's right or wrong, it's up to the owner, but considering what Andy Reid's been through, considering his tenure there in Philly, I just think that they're just going to let it ride out at this point. Because they probably feel like he's earned it, and to the degree he has, but at this point, it's almost, also, I kind of feel bad for him, just because it's, you know, it's not going to work out, he's a lame duck coach, and he can't be enjoying himself, he probably should get back to his family, but he's not going to actually do it himself, so.
But let me just, guys, I know I mean, I got nowhere to be, so, you know, I know, you know, time is ticking, but. Yeah, we're good. But let me just say this. I have all the sympathy in the world for Andy Reid losing his son, okay? I'm a father of two daughters, and I can't even imagine, okay? So I get that. But at the same time, when you're talking about running a business, doesn't Jeffrey Lurie owe it to the team and to the fans to week after week put the best product on the field? And Andy Reid is not delivering. That's my problem. You know,
yeah.
It's one thing when you say the coach is doing everything he can, and, you know, I thought Jason Garrett, excuse me, was going through growing pains. He's still learning how to be a head coach. But I mean, he got my attention, but at no point did I say he should be fired. Andy Reid just looks defeated. He doesn't look the same. He looks to me just like Wade Phillips looked 2 years ago. I don't have any answers. We're getting our butt kicked. I don't know what to do. Well, I think he's not going to quit. He's not going to resign. But you know what? It would probably be the best thing for him and his fan and the team and the fan base to relieve him of his duties. Just get him out of there. You know, you can't do the job anymore. You know, sorry. Get out.
I would definitely say, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing him finish out the year. We know the years are done. He's not going to be back, but he looks like a man that needs a break. I mean, he's had a great run as Eagles head coach. He has. I think he did a great job with that team, with the exception of winning a Super Bowl. So, I mean, it's at that time, and because of what they did between what they've done with the roster between last year and this year, it was supposed to have been plugging holes and making them a Super Bowl contender. It went the other way. It just made them a worse team than they already were.
And why do we think that is? What's been one of our themes this year?
No excuses.
Well, no, but coaching matters.
Oh, coaching matters, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
There you go.
Coaching matters. Definitely. We hit on this a little bit earlier, but we had another team that did go end up, you know, still sitting at 9-1, but they also struggled. But we saw, you know, who I consider was my MVP pick, Matt Ryan, throw 5 picks,
The question is, are the Falcons in trouble?
You know, I mean, and I know I put that on there. You know, to say that a team at 9-1 is in trouble is probably blasphemy. It's probably sacrilegious. But, you know, we've seen this Falcon team have good regular seasons 4 years in a row, and Matt Ryan can't win a playoff game, okay? And when you see them struggle, you know, and I got to tell you, I didn't watch the game, and I have NFL Rewind. I just I actually, last couple of days, I've actually been pretty busy with work. So I haven't been able to watch the game, but I did hear that I want to thank Matt Ryan because now Tony Romo is not the only active quarterback with 5 interceptions. and so, you know, when you see the team struggle against an Arizona team, when you see them throw 5 interceptions and, you know, Tony Romo was roasted for throwing 5 interceptions against the Bears, roasted. Well, Arizona's got a decent defense, but dare I say they don't have the Bears' defense. And so I say, as I said against Houston, are they in trouble? Well, they won the game. They're 9-1. They're not in trouble. But they should be a little bit concerned at the quality of play against an inferior team. There should be some concern now, especially in Atlanta, who can't seem to get it going after the regular season. They should be concerned.
I'll say this because this is exactly what I was saying weeks back. And I know I got Turner's my fantasy football running back. Yeah, I would like to see him get more touches. But I also know that if Turner is entrenched more in the offense, that team gets a lot of, you know, some balance. Matt Ryan and the receivers, they can get it done. He has a great receiving core. Julio Jones, Roddy White, Tony Gonzalez, he has all the weapons that he needs to get it done in the passing game. But I feel like offensively, they're putting it all on him, and it's not bringing enough balance. And they're going to need balance if they plan on getting through the playoffs. They're going to put it simple. They're going to need balance. You can't just go in there being one way on offense. You can't. It caught up with Green Bay. You know what I'm saying? It caught up with the Saints. You've got to have a balance. You've got to have both the run and the pass when you go in there. And that defense, like you said, T, it's not a Bear defense. Hell, it's not even a Cowboy defense, to be honest. Their defense struggles from time to time. And they struggle against poor teams. And like Chicago having to beat Green Bay to get over their hump, Atlanta's going to – they got to play the Saints again. And unless they beat the Saints, they're not over that hump. And the same thing with Chicago. Unless they beat the Packers, they're not over that hump. And you can't get over that hump. You're going to struggle when you get to the playoffs because it's a whole different ball game.
And let me add this to the equation. You know, I told you guys 2 weeks ago when Roddy White started talking about going undefeated, it was the kiss of death. And what happened since then? They lost to the Saints, and they barely squeaked by the Cardinals. Okay? You can't read your own press. You know, Smith has got to step up and slap this team around a little bit and say, wait a minute, you guys realize you haven't done a damn thing yet? There needs to be a talk like that to this team. This team is too talented to not be playing these last two games at a little bit of a higher level like we saw some of the other games. And to me, it started with starting to believe that you can go 16-0. That is ridiculous. There's a reason why only one team in the history of the NFL has gone 16-0, because it doesn't happen. Don't worry about 16-0. Worry about the game you got on Sunday. It's ridiculous. And the fact that Roddy White did that, I told you, it was kiss of death. And now look at them. They're not the same team. They're still 9-1, but I'd be concerned.
You know what? And you said, and the thing is, I would love to see my team win every game, but at the same time, I don't want them to. I want to see your team lose a couple. Hey, lose a few. Go ahead and go in at 14-2. I like going in at 14-2, 13-3. Because you need to know what the loss feels like. You need to know where your weaknesses are, because in those losses, your weaknesses get exploited.
Yeah. Okay? A lot of characters built. You find a lot of other football teams with adversity and find through it. It's a lot of things that are really big learning tools for a football team to go through. But
forget being undefeated. If you can do it, great, but you better do it all the way and nab the Super Bowl, because if you do it and you don't nab the Super Bowl, then you feel like the Patriots did a few years back. It's like all for naught.
I agree.
All right, next up, TMV NFL Power Rankings. So I don't know what we had individually. I'm just going based off the one email with the agenda. But at number five, I don't think they were in our top five last week. We got the Denver Broncos. At number four, the team that just beat the snot out of my team, we got the 49ers. Number three, we got the K-Star said they were done, sitting at 8-2, Baltimore Ravens.
And I love the preface there.
And we keep having this battle with the 1-2. One week it's Houston, one week it's Atlanta, but this week Houston falls in at number two, Atlanta falls in at number one. So,
well, you know, and go ahead, K-Star. I don't see much issue with these rankings. The only thing I can really see is, you know, maybe flipping Houston and Atlanta. I mean, I think these are pretty consistent with ratings across the board for power rankings. Nothing really jumps out to me as a surprise, basically, when I found out our results.
Yeah, I mean, I think, obviously, the Atlanta-Houston debate, I think one of you guys changed. I still had Atlanta. One of you changed. I think Train might have changed from Houston last week to Atlanta this week.
I made my switch based off one thing. I saw what I consider, I know the Jaguars played well, but they're still not a good football team. And I saw them take Houston, you know, OT. And I just used that as my edge for putting Atlanta back up top. Because one thing I saw about Houston was quarterback.
Yeah, and so I think that the only thing that I disagree with you guys on is I would still have the Packers ahead of the Broncos. You know, they've won five games in a row, including earlier having beat the Bears, where the Bears, you know, that was their only loss for a while. You know, so I just think the Packers, and it's not, you know, it's, you know, I mean, I'm looking at ESPN's power rankings right now, and ESPN has the Packers at four and the Broncos at seven. It's not a bad thing, the Broncos at five instead of the Packers, but I think the Packers, I think right now they should be ahead of the Broncos. That would be the only thing that I would completely disagree on. Houston and Atlanta, either way, you can go either way. They're both 9-1. You know, I've just consistently said Atlanta for the most part, and I'm going to stick to that. You know, and I think for me, looking at both games with Atlanta and Houston, as much as I respected that it was a division game, well, you know what? The Eagles played the Redskins as a division game and got mollywopped. So I still have to say the Jags are a 1-8 team, and they took Houston to overtime. And yet the Cardinals at least started 4-0. They've lost five in a row, but they started 4-0, and it wasn't a division game. So both teams struggled, but I think Atlanta had the tougher game, so that's why I had to go with Atlanta.
Now, I will say, as far as the fifth pick, I did teeter. I thought about putting the Packers. I guess my only reason for going with Denver at number five is because both offensively and defensively, they have it. And I know the Packers, I feel like the Packers definitely – the Packers go as far as Aaron Rodgers go. And you can almost say that for the Broncos. You can say that. I won't discount that you can say it. But defensively, I think the Broncos look better. And so defense plus offense equal team, I gave them the slight edge over the fact. But it did come down between putting one of those two at number five.
This is actually the second week in a row. I didn't make it last week in the average, but second week in a row I had Denver at fifth. You know, the reason why I have Denver over Green Bay is because they're three games up in their division. They spanked, you know, the Chargers. Their running game's come together. Peyton's on fire. The defense is getting pitches. And one thing with Green Bay is they're actually having problems protecting Aaron Rodgers. I'm not sure if you guys saw the Detroit game. That game was in doubt throughout the duration of it. Packers pulled it off, but Rodgers was getting banged up a lot. He was running around for his life a little bit. I feel like Denver has a complete, more of a complete football team. So that was my reasoning behind having them ahead of Green Bay, but certainly you can make the
Let me just say this, though. I think you're three games up in the division. I mean, look at the divisions. You know.
Absolutely.
I mean, Green Bay is now leading a much tougher division than Denver's division. It's a much tougher division. It's not even close. I mean, the only team in Denver's division that has any chance of doing anything is the Chargers, and we know what they do every year. So, I mean, defensively, I get what you're saying. Defensively, Denver generally has a little bit of a better defense, I think, than Green Bay. But I think Green Bay's defense is coming on now, too, you know? So,
you know, look, they could actually meet in the Super Bowl. It wouldn't surprise me that it was Denver and Green Bay. I mean, these teams are kind of coming on a little hot, start off a little slow, putting up a nice string of wins together, both playing really well, both have elite quarterbacks. So look out for both of these teams regardless.
Hello.
Hi. What's next, Trey?
All right. I'm sorry. I messed around and disconnected myself. Oh, my goodness.
Ah.
Yeah. I'm sorry about
Two
that.
2 hours into the show, almost disconnected myself.
Yeah. Week 12 picks, man. Let me just say before we get into these picks, dude, this is going to be a fun weekend for football. A fun week. Definitely starting on Thursday for football. Some teams can have – we can see some really ugly upsets this week. But anyway.
How about last week?
Oh.
On our picks individually.
I just posted that. Stay in just a second. I think T, 4-0. Yeah, he had every pick right. Both you and I went 3-1.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I had a good week for picks.
We went 3-1, and so with the overall, I'm still one pick ahead in the league, and he's only three picks back, 39-23, 42-20.
And let me also say this, I want to thank the 49ers for gashing the Bears because it allowed me to win my fantasy game over Train.
There's absolutely no
reason that I should have won that game. I just knew Train had the Bears defense and Matt Forte, and he was up 14 points. And I said, I'm done. I said, Forte will get 14 on his own, plus the Bears D. I said I was done. And he only ended up getting 7 points, and I ended up winning.
7 points. Oh, trust me. I'm sitting here flabbergasted from the whole thing, like, yeah. I'm going to get this. Between these two, Bears D and Matt Forte, I should definitely get
it.
Man, I mean, it's completely just kind of like shut out. That was
I mean, I'm thankful because I'm fighting for a playoff spot, and that really helped me out a lot in our league because now I believe, let me see. See, now this is what I don't understand, and I guess I have to look because now I'm 6-5. It's showing me in the eighth position, but I beat you, Train. Shouldn't I be ahead of you? How can you still be in the sixth?
Based off point total.
So the first tiebreaker isn't head-to-head?
No, it's not head-to-head. It's point total. I checked into it, and I couldn't find the tiebreaker.
Real quick, is that six teams make the playoffs in this league?
No, eight.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you're not out of it, K-Star. Yeah, but that's dumb, though. I mean, I beat you when you're ahead of me because you got more points. I don't like that. We're gonna have to look at a lot of these things in off season, man. You know, look at this stuff because it makes absolutely no sense. It doesn't make any sense. All right. Well, I mean, anyway, good.
Week 12 picks. First one, Washington at Dallas. See.
Everybody, this is what I love. Dallas struggles against Cleveland. Washington spanks the Eagles, and now it's this big, huge game. It's a division game. RG3's coming to Texas Stadium, blah, 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 blee, blee, blee. Washington's not a very good team, ladies and gentlemen. RG3's a good quarterback. I get that. But Washington is not a very good team, and they're very suspect on defense. Okay? We've played Michael Vick and contained him. We played him well when he was playing pretty good. Okay? We played Donovan McNabb, who, granted, he's not as agile as RG3, but he moved around that pocket, and he would run and scramble too. Dallas defense is a fast-hitting defense. I'm not saying RG3 is not going to get his. I have a lot of respect for what he's able to do, but I don't, when I listen to people talk, and it's almost like Dallas has no chance to win this game. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, yeah, we've got injuries, but you know what? We're going to do what we got to do. Dallas will win this game. They've got Arakpo is out. I believe London Fletcher is out, you know, on defense. And I just expect us, and I don't know if Murray's going to play yet. He's questionable for this game. So we're hopeful that Murray's going to play, but they don't want to play him until he's 100%. So I just expect Dallas to win this game. I don't think Washington is that good. I just don't. I think they're an up-and-coming team, but they're not that good, particularly on defense. So I expect Dallas to win this game.
Okay, Tom.
This one's tough. This is going to be a close game. It's a divisional game. It's, you know, on Thanksgiving Day. Don't really know what to make as part of Thanksgiving. That could go either way. But it's going to be a close game, and it's going to come to turnovers. The Washington Redskins defensive front seven doesn't generate a lot. Their secondary has made some plays for them this season. I want to go with Dallas in a very close, bitter game. I just think the RG3, there might be a fumble or turnover caused at DeMarcus Ware here off the edge. This is a very good pass defense. You know, I believe Washington's going to commit to the run with Alfred Morris and RG3 and try to scheme around that. But I think Dallas pulls it out.
Can I just, before Train makes it, can I say something, K-Star? Why come every time you pick Dallas, it's got to be like someone's got a gun to your head?
I'm never thought every single game Dallas is in, there's some kind of drama. It's just so I'm picking the win of the division. Early this in the preseason, I'm sticking to part of that. So go Cowboys!
Whatever,
I want them to win,
I am so sick of the whole painful. I guess I'll pick the Cowboys.
What's the tough game? It's not necessarily Dallas. It's not necessarily Dallas.
I don't need
it. Is a poor.
Pick the
you're not gonna get my. You won't get my support regardless. First of all,
when I
it is a
the
tough
Steelers,
game.
No, when I pick the Steelers. I don't hem and haw. I don't. I say Steelers gonna win this game. Unbelievable.
All right, man.
All right, I'm sorry. You don't like my Jay Cutler body language and tone.
Oh, wow.
You gonna take that train? Why am I
taking gun questions, man? Whoa. I love my quarterback. Hey, I don't care what anyone says at this point. I love my quarterback now. All of Chicago understands all of that bull crap about how they don't like Cutler's demeanor on the sideline and all this crap. I bet you still want him on the field versus Jason Campbell. How about those apples? Anyway, look, man, I'm taking Dallas in this game. Look here, Dallas still has the defense. Okay, Bob Ryan gets fired up on the sideline. He still has they still got the defense to win this game, even regardless of what the offense does. Because that's what it's going to come down to, Dallas defense, because the Redskins defense is not a hot defense at all. They have to put up points to win these games. You know, so with that said, Dallas at home, they should really get this victory. Whether it's close or overtime or whatever, this still should be a Dallas win. All right, next game up. Houston at Detroit. You know, since this is, quote-unquote, kind of in my division a little bit, this is one of my division teams, I'm going to go ahead and start this one out. I'm just going to pick Houston. Okay, I'm not looking for anybody in my division to win a game other than Chicago. So, yeah. Pete.
Upset Detroit. Thanksgiving Day. I just have a feeling, and I'm just going to go for it. I know Houston's the better team. Don't get me wrong. I firmly think that Houston is the better team. I cannot escape the fact that a Jacksonville team put 37 points up on the board. I get Chad Henne came in. They didn't scout for him. Okay, whatever. I'm sorry. Something's going on there. And I told you guys about Wade Phillips. I told you. He doesn't always come through. And I think Detroit, and you guys got to realize, I don't like Detroit.
Yeah, I know. That's why you think it's kind of like shocking to me.
I don't like Detroit, but I feel like this team tomorrow, this team is used to a short week. They play this game every year. They're at home. Crowd faith, crowd momentum. I just feel an upset's coming. So I'm going. I got to catch up on train. So I'm going to pick Detroit to pull the upset tomorrow.
All right. K-Star.
I'm going Houston. I don't care. I mean,
look, Matt Stafford's been just throwing some god-awful passes these past few weeks. His mechanics are horrible. J.J. Watt, that defense is going to play better because that was embarrassment. That was atrocity that took place on the field in Houston against the Jaguars. Going to clean up a little bit. And the Lions have no prayer of stopping Arian Foster. I'm going Texans.
All right. Patriots and Jets. Okay, Star, let you start this one.
New England. The Jets, they're not going to be able to match them point for point. They had a close game earlier this season. That was their one chance. Now the blowout will commence. The Jets season will be over. And free Tebow. Sean Dollar. The winner.
T.
Yeah, Patriots. That's easy. Let's move on.
Yeah, we're all in on this one. Seriously. Just our joke. But I guess we have to put it on there because it's the Patriots and Jets. Anyway, next.
Can I just say one thing to K-Star's Arian Foster comment? That Arian Foster had 77 yards against the Jaguars. I know Adrian Foster Arian Foster is the truth, but 77 yards.
You know what? They had over 500 yards passing, and you know why? Those play actions, you always have to respect them no matter what. They're the king of the play.
And Chad Henne threw four touchdowns.
Okay, we're talking about that offense. You want to switch it? That defense is going to play better.
Well, let's hope so. They're going to have to. All right, go ahead.
All right. This is definitely the divisional game of the week. Vikings at Bears. Well, since it is my team, I'll put it this way. Yeah, we play horribly against San Francisco. It's one game. Cutler will be back for this game. With Cutler back and Chicago's defense getting a slap in the face, it sucks that Alshon Jeffries won't be playing. But, hey, we've been without him and have won some games anyway. So, with that said, I think Chicago gets back on track because they need this game. They can't afford to lose a division game against the Vikings and still get a wild card spot. So, go Bears.
Go Bears, he says. Going with the Bears as well at home, Soldier Field. Not sure. What's the status of Jay Cutler?
He should be back this week. The last I saw was he looks good. The title said he looks good to return this week.
Okay. Going with the Bears, I think that it'll be a close divisional game. Adrian Peterson. You know, what Frank Gore did was pretty impressive, but you cannot get the whole Adrian Peterson. What happened? Chicago won.
I'm glad I don't have to be a Bears fan this week, boy. Listen, the defense played horrible. I'm inclined to agree with Train. It was a one-week no-show. And for Bears' sake, they better hope so, because with the way the 49ers was able to run on them, if AP can run like that, it's going to be a long day. So here's my pick. If Cutler plays, I'm picking the Bears. If Cutler doesn't play, I'm picking the Vikings. So that's my pick.
Okay. I'll make sure I keep an eye on it.
Yep. This way I ain't got to go and change my mind. I pick the Bears only if Cutler starts. If he starts,
right.
I'll go with the
Bears. I'll co-sign that. Let me get that stipulation as well.
There you go. That's how we roll.
Wow.
Once in a while,
wow.
K-Star and I. That's how
Let me side with T.
Wow, I like two birds on the fence. Don't know which way to fly.
Hey, man, like two birds on the fence. Let me tell you something. Two birds on the fence, but the bird droppings is Jason Campbell playing quarterback. So
that's what I'm saying. Two bears in the woods don't know where to shit. All I'm saying to you is this. Jason Campbell is horrible.
And you know what? No.
If he's your quarterback, y'all gonna lose. That's as simple as that. I didn't see McCown play to even scout him. So you know, man, y'all need your boy Cutler in there. I'm not a huge fan of Cutler, but I give the man respect. He can play. You know, I still have my concerns about his leadership skills and all of that, but the boy can play. And so you guys need him. You need him bad. Just like the Steelers need Roethlisberger.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. No doubt. All right, man. This is also going to be a tough division matchup. We've got Atlanta at Tampa Bay. Not going to go first on this one. K-Star.
I'm going to Tampa Bay. It's in Tampa. They're playing so well. Atlanta a little bit sloppy this past game. I don't know. I think Graciano has a really good thing going in Atlanta. In Tampa. Josh Freeman's been on point. Vincent Jackson's been a monster this season. Doug Martin going with Tampa in the upset.
P.
You know. I don't like this game. I know who's on the schedule to pick. I don't like this game. Freeman's getting better, although I still don't believe in him. He still got to do a lot more for me to ride defense. To get off defense with him. Martin's the truth. He looks like he's, you know, watching him now makes me think to when Arian Foster had his coming out party. And we were like, is this guy the truth or not? And he became the truth. And now we're watching this guy have his coming out party. You know, Vincent Jackson's doing well down there. They're home. But you know what? This is a big game for Atlanta because they lost to the Saints. They didn't play well against the Cardinals. They need to come out and play well in this game. And let me tell you something. Tampa's getting a lot of press for a team that's 6-4. They're getting a lot of coverage. You know, and if I'm Atlanta, I'm sitting there saying, excuse me, we're 9-1. What the hell is going on? Why do I keep talking about Tampa? You know, what's going on? We're 9-1.
I think
there might be a bit of an attitude coming from Atlanta, something to prove, and I'm going to go ahead and say Atlanta goes to 10-1.
All right, not to say your speech convinced me, but I'll put it, my thing is this. Atlanta definitely took a dip in how they play. They've had to play these close games against what we would consider scrub teams. But at the end of the day, Atlanta finds some ridiculous way to win games. And I think just that ability alone is the reason why I'm going to go with Atlanta this week. So it's going to be a close game. I have no doubt that Tampa Bay is going to make it a close game, but I feel like Atlanta's going to find some way to pull this win out. All right, next up, San Francisco and New Orleans. Please, let us know why New Orleans is going to win this game.
New Orleans is going to win this game, man.
I've been telling you that New Orleans is at home. If they're playing San Francisco, I would pick San Francisco. New Orleans is going to win this game. I'm going to tell you why. Because Harbaugh is going to start Alex Smith. That's what's going to happen, okay? Because he's going to be cleared to play, and he's a starter. And Harbaugh, I can't even say his name, is horrible at press conferences. He looks confused up there sometimes. He doesn't understand that he should have just said Smith is a starter. He created a firestorm. Now he's going to have to come and put out the firestorm. He's going to have to say, if Smith is cleared, he's going to play, okay? And even though, you know, 49ers looked incredible against the Bears didn't have Jay Cutler. So they went out there without their leader. The Saints are going out there with Drew Brees. They're going to put some points up. Drew Brees scores on everybody, okay? He's going to score points on these guys. And the defense, even though they're giving up 470 yards a game, it is improving. They're not a 49er defense, but it is improving. You don't want to play New Orleans in a shootout. I don't care who you are. Maybe Tom Brady can, but Alex Smith cannot. And I'm telling you, just trust me on this one. Revenge game. Trust me on this one. Saints are going to win.
I'll go. Look, I'm going to go with San Francisco. And I'm not basing it off their beatdown of Chicago. They were without their color and their offensive line was like Google. I'm basing it off the fact that I know they have a solid defense. I'm basing it off the fact that they have the best rushing offense in the league. So they have the ability to keep the Saints offense off the field, which is one of the ways you beat, one of the ingredients to beating the Saints is keeping their offense off the field. Because like you said, they can score. And they will score on you. Given numerous opportunities, they will score on you. So with their ability to run the ball and with their ability to play D and put pressure on quarterback, I'm going to go with San Francisco. Even in New York. K-Star.
Tough. I want to go with San Francisco. I'm reluctant on it because I really don't know who's playing quarterback A. And B, New Orleans is just a tough place to play. Really are. I mean, they have not only, you know, are they fine for a playoff spot, I'm pretty sure they have revenge on their mind from last year's divisional game, that clash that happened between San Fran and New Orleans.
Revenge.
Yeah. Still going with San Fran. I think that running game might be able to buy them some time out there. I don't see the Saints really stopping that run game. But that defense in New Orleans is playing a lot better. They've been blitzing just a whole bunch these past few weeks. They've been getting some pretty good results. San Francisco into a very tight ball game.
And let me just say this. I'm trying to change your mind train, but let me just say this. Case I hit it right on the head. Remember, Steve Spagnuolo is the defensive coordinator. He was also the defensive coordinator of the 2007 Super Bowl champion New York Giants. Okay? And even though they're giving up yards, they are giving up less than they were giving up, number one, but they are blitzing, and they're run blitzing too. They're making plays that they weren't making in the beginning of the season. The team is coming on strong, and this is going to be a statement game for them, and they know it. They need this game more than San Francisco does right now. And they're home too. I've been to the Superdome, man. That's not a fun place to be if you're the opposing team. Trust me. But anyway, guys.
No doubt. Last but not least, man, I think this is the Sunday night game, but Green Bay versus the New York Giants. I'm going to let T end this one because he's going to end up closing this out anyway, and I'm going to go first. Green Bay at New York. Look, I'm going to have to 50% homer this pick because I have to, all right? To get the football in at the same time, because I do think the Giants have the ability to beat Green Bay. They've done it once, and they can do it again. And they are at home. If they was in Green Bay, I'd be a little cautious. But the Giants are at home. And at some point, they need to pick up some steam heading into these playoffs. And, hey, they are fighting off those Dallas Cowboys for the division. So, Bears going to need some help. to get this division, and this is going to be part of their help somewhere with the Giants.
You know what? I'm going to New York. Off the bye week, I feel like we're going to get pressure on the struggling Packers offensive line. New York, this is something to do a little bit. It's going to be a great game. Again, revenge Patrick from Green Bay here. Going with New York, throwing a slight, narrow some margins here.
And once again, I have to educate you guys that Eli doesn't play well at home. They looked horrible against the Bengals, and yeah, they get a week off. They needed that week off. The Packers have won 5 in a row. You know, I know, Train, you need the Giants to win, and I need the Packers to win. But even if I didn't, I would be picking the Packers. I just think they're playing better football right now. And like I said, remember, that, you know, if this was – I'd feel better about the Giants winning if it was in Green Bay. But Eli does not play well at home. You know, let's talk week one. Dallas goes in and beats them, you know, the Super Bowl champs in their own stadium. So I think Green Bay is going to do the exact same thing. I think Green Bay is going to beat them. So, I got the Packers.
Greg, oh, I hate it.
If I sweep my picks, man, I might actually take over the lead because we got at least three or four games where we differ.
You tie.
I would tie. Okay.
Yeah, okay. You tie.
I'll get carried away.
Yeah, I know. Right.
I'll take it. I'll take a tie.
Awesome. All right, T. Commiss T, the floor is yours, man.
All right. Hey, listen, I want to thank everybody. I have to thank Dr. Train for hosting, running the switchboard, and manning the agenda tonight. As I had another obligation, so I couldn't be on right on nine. I want to appreciate that. One night, you know, we're hoping that K-Star can come off of his ivory tower and actually host the show. I think the fans would like to see K-Star actually host the show. But you know, at this point, he hasn't come down off his ivory tower. But we're hoping that K-Star will one night actually host the show. So, you know, let's see if we can get K-Star to actually host the show one night. So I want to thank Chan. I want to thank K-Star. I want to thank Saint for calling in. I want to thank the numbers are still looking good. You know, football season's going strong. And let me just take a minute and just say this. You know, it's Thanksgiving. And, you know, Commissioner T has been facing some very interesting ups and downs in his life over the last few weeks, but I'm going to keep on keeping on. I got some things going on, and you know, some are putting frowns on my face, and it's all right. And as we roll into Thanksgiving, I am forced to not just look at the negatives that are going on in my life. I'm forced to look at the positives that are going on in my life, and I'm forced to give thanks to a lot of things because it could always be worse. And that giving thanks has me hopeful for the future, has me hopeful for things improving around me, around the people that I love and around people that I care about, my family and my friends. And so when you are eating your Thanksgiving dinner, when you are sitting there with friends and family, loved ones, I want you guys all to do the same. I want you to think about the good that's going on. I want you to think about how you can change somebody's life. I want you to think about who is out there that you can find that you haven't talked to in a while that would be happy to hear your voice. Who is out there that misses you? Who is out there that you miss? Tomorrow isn't promised to everybody. And as we go into Thanksgiving, we need to give thanks to what we have, but we also need to appreciate what is around us. And so find somebody you love and hug and kiss them. Tell them you love them. Tell them you miss them. You know, you have no idea how that would make somebody happy for Thanksgiving. Give thanks. Make somebody happy. Pay it forward. Eat a lot. Watch football. Enjoy the day. And I just want to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Get your grub on. And, you know, will I do a Friday show? I don't know. I am leaning very strongly towards doing the Friday show at noon. Catch us on Twitter. Catch us on Facebook. The announcement will be there. 7:30 on doing a Friday show to talk more about the Sunday games and a look at the Thursday games. The Friday numbers have been great, and I just at this point don't really know because of the holiday part of what's going on if that's going to make sense or not, but leaning towards doing it. But again, for Dr. Train, for K-Star, for everybody calls in, for all the fans, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for supporting the Madden Voice. And remember to listen to the Madden voice, because here all feuds are ultimately settled on the field. Goodbye, everybody. We'll be right back.